This is PFW in Progress.
What they bring us today, you're going to fit in real good. You'll learn the rules. It's all up to you. I can be a good guy, or I can be one real mean son of a bitch. It's all up to you.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Them clothes got laundry numbers on them. You remember your number, and we're the ones that has your number. Any man forgets his number, spends the night in the box. These here spoons you keep with you. Any man loses his spoon, spends the night in the box. No playing grab ass or fighting in the building. You got a grudge against another man, you fight him Saturday afternoon. Any man playing grab ass or fighting in the building spends the night in the box. Any man don't bring back his empty pop bottle spends the night in the box. Any man loud talking spends the night in the box. You got questions? You come to me.
Paul Perillo.
Hell, I seen him eat 10 chocolate bars and 7 cold drinks in 15 minutes. He can eat busted bottles and rusty nails, any damn thing.
I can eat 50 eggs.
Nobody can eat 50 eggs.
You just said he could eat anything.
My boss says he can eat 50 eggs, he can eat 50 eggs.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm shaking it here, boss. I'm shaking it.
Andy Hart.
We going by my house, we going to have a big meal. Then I'm going to show you a couple of farm girls that really knows what fun.
Some guy named Tom.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants. Well, he gets.
PFW in Progress.
What we got here is a failure to communicate.
All right. We're here to communicate with you. It's PFW in Progress time. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, probably where you're listening to, depending on what part of the world you're coming from. But it's a busy day here. Passing camp is underway as we speak. Andy and I just came back from it. Paul will be back in about, half an hour. There's some player availability, but Andy didn't bother to stay for that because, first things first, I have to do a big shout-out to Conley's in Watertown. Who sent them, Paul? I mean, Gary. Who sent the wings? Martha. Martha sent the wings via Stephen Conley. Conley's is a restaurant in Watertown, Massachusetts, 164 Belmont Street. Phone number, I'm going to give that out, 617-393-0237. They were nice enough to send us two types of wings, steak roll-ups. This place, if this is any indication of the rest of the food there, go to Conley's in Watertown.
It's phenomenal. I had one wing, but the wing is tremendous.
And this is after a half-hour drive
from
Watertown.
Can only imagine what they'd be if they were fresh out of the kitchen.
Yeah, so this is outstanding.
What are the other wings?
Teriyaki. Yeah. So big shout-out to Conley's in Watertown, 164 Belmont Street. There's 10 flat-screen TVs there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, tremendous food. Beer's cold. Wings are hot.
And Fred just turned into a low-level announcer on a commercial. So beers are cold, wings are hot.
So check it out. This is huge. It's nice to come in from practice, a hard day of practice, and have these wings sitting here waiting for
you. You worked up a sweat out there?
I did.
Saying, quote, Dave Thomas making it look easy after number 46, who's some low-level rookie free agent, caught a pass.
All right, it looked like Dave Thomas.
Freddie, I don't think anybody's going to top this.
I don't think so either.
People can try, though.
You know, I mean,
you mentioned that they sent beer?
No.
They did send beer. Unfortunately, we can't drink that yet, but
I was going to say, but we can drink it at some point. Is it really the Bud Light Lime?
It's the thought that counts.
Oh.
It's the thought that counts. But
it's phenomenal.
This is outstanding.
Did they really think we could drink in the middle of the day?
the question is, are there enough left when Paul gets back?
I don't know. I'm going to keep eating. Talk about the camp.
So, as I said, 10:30 today, the team took the field. And I'd say, about 75 guys are here. So most of the guys are here. A few guys, Wes Welker, Jarvis Green, Dave Thomas, as Andy already made fun of me.
Well, Wes Welker is the interesting one. Most of those, and actually Jarvis Green. The other guys, Watson, Hobbs, the bulk of those guys, we know of procedures they've had, so they wouldn't be out there. I don't know why Wes Welker would be
out. He's probably doing something. It's probably prearranged.
My guess is he's doing something.
Right, and he's arranged it with the coach. So no problem there. But a large... And this isn't mandatory, I don't think. It's sort of mandatory. But if anyone's wondering, yes, Tom Brady's there throwing. All the quarterbacks are there.
Looks a little rusty, though.
Oh, he does not. Jesus. He looks fine. Sammy Morris is there looking good.
Yes, that's one of the guys we've talked about lately with the running backs they've brought in.
Yep.
I just actually watched him make a nice lunging catch and his, you know, full extension. He looks to be, you know, not hindered in any way by the chest injury.
Yep, the rookies are there, Mayo and Wheatley and everyone.
All the
else.
Rookies, yep.
So,
interesting note. And Tom Casale, if he's listening as he recovers from Schnoz surgery, Ray Ventrone, number 41 in white, now a wide receiver for your New England Patriots.
We guess that he's just doing it today to kind of fill in for Welker, maybe?
Well, I don't think just today. I don't think Bill would do it for just a day.
Okay.
My guess is this will continue at least into veteran minicamp and, you know, into the preseason. They need a little depth there, a couple two-way guys. We've seen guys go both ways in the past, and not just Eric.
Right.
But we've seen David Givens and some of the Troy Brown in camp to add an extra. You need an extra DB. You need an extra wide receiver here. But I found that very interesting.
Okay.
I just don't picture him as the guy if I'm scratching my head who can – I mean, no offense to him, but I just don't see him catching passes.
Well, I guess, you know, you got to put him somewhere, and it doesn't matter if he's back on defense, I guess. You know?
Yeah, I mean, could be. They've added some bodies on defense, and we know Bill loves him. That he, you know, he's going to keep him around for training camp and practice and all that. So maybe, yeah, it's just a numbers thing. They brought in Tank Williams. Maybe they feel like they have a little depth there, and they need an extra body at receiver, and Bubba can play receiver.
Okay, so the team gets off the field at around 12:30, and then there's some player availability. Bill Belichick will not be available, so there won't be a Bill Belichick press conference up on the site. But we will have a recap of the practice and some quotes from interviews that Paul's conducting, and then I'm sure PR will also supply us with a bunch of quotes from other players.
And Chris is out there taking photos. He also has a mini disc or whatever he uses. He's going to try and grab some player audio to put on the website. We're not currently blogging because we have some technical difficulties going on.
Paul waited for 10 minutes before practice to ask if I had a sprint card, so I got that, and now it doesn't work. So,
yeah. And a note that fans may or may not enjoy for a random reason, showing up late to practice, probably about a half hour before I came down here, of the Boston Herald, John Tomasi, sitting in the very last bleacher by himself behind everybody.
So he came after I left.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
In the last, like I said, half hour, maybe even less. And I said, hey, John. And he goes, don't talk to me. You might get in trouble or something. He made a little joke out of it. So.
Okay, well.
I mean, he's got to have to get used to any awkwardness,
Yeah.
If he's really going to stay on the beat.
He's basically a leper right now.
Yeah. He actually stood in the back. Karen went back to speak with him, Karen Garrigue and his coworker at the Herald, and then he sat in the back row by himself.
Well, that's a good segue
into
the news that happened since last show on Thursday. Obviously, you know, the Matt Walsh did his thing on Tuesday, and we had all the fallout from that. But on Friday, Bill Belichick, I think, did, you know, an out-of-the-ordinary interview, exclusive interview with Armi Katayan from CBS.
Katayan.
Right. You say Katayan, I say Katayan.
Yeah, but he says Katayan.
they did a sit-down interview, I guess, early on Friday.
Pronounced.
Yes. And they edited it quickly and had it on the CBS News Friday at 6:30 prior to Matt Walsh on HBO at 8 o'clock. Now, that was about a two-minute interview on the news, but the full 10-minute interview, actually it's 14 minutes, can be found on Patriots.com. You can click on it, and it'll take you to CBS, where you can watch the full 14-minute interview. And I suggest anyone who's interested in really that interview do that, because the two-minute interview, I think, left out some significant things that Belichick had to say.
I still haven't seen the full interview. I've seen portions of the full that weren't. I think CBS didn't do a very good job editing. And I know it's the nightly news, and you get your couple minutes because there's a lot going on in the world. But it almost did a disservice, I thought, to the overall interview.
Right. I suggest anyone go to Patriots.com and check out that link to the CBS full interview.
What was your reaction to both, to Friday night?
Well, you know what? I didn't watch the HBO one.
Okay.
I saw clips, but I didn't watch it.
Okay.
So
I watched both. Yeah. I taped both. I actually saw both of them twice because my wife wanted to watch them, and she didn't get to see them live. I thought Bill didn't come off great in his and my wife said it. She didn't find him believable in his presentation. She didn't like the way he presented himself. I thought Walsh came off a little bit more believable, but too believable. He came off as a guy who'd been coached on exactly what to say.
Yeah.
You know, in movies where they show the lawyer just going over with the witness, this is what they're going to ask. This is
right,
how you...
Right.
He was very, almost too much prepared. I will say he had a couple very good, like, zingers, quotes or whatever. At one point, she asked, you know, about the whole, he couldn't pick you out of the lineup, and he gave the answer, could he pick me out of the team pictures? But then she said, what if he walked in now? And he had this smirk on his face, and he said, I bet you he'd recognize me now.
Well, yeah.
I know, but the way he delivered it was kind of a little zinger.
That's crazy.
And then they closed with, or near the end, they asked about the penalty, $750,000, and the draft pick. And at first he said, you know, it's not up to me to decide. And then he said, $750,000, three Super Bowls, I think they'd do it the same way again.
Oh, for crying.
So he basically said they bought three Super Bowls and paid $750,000.
You know what? He's so full of crap. You know, I think what Belichick said about he has a history of embellishing things is taking it lightly.
You know how I feel? The way Tony Maserati tried to write before he spun off his axis and went crazy.
Well, that's another thing we want to talk about. You know, I think he's lost his mind, but anyway.
But I hate everybody in this. I don't like how anyone has handled it. Matt Walsh, Bill Belichick, Roger Goodell, the three central figures, Spector, I think have all, in their own ways, at different times, been embarrassing.
I think the when you're Bill Belichick and you're talking about a low-level video assistant, you can't win.
Right.
Because it seems
especially when you keep making reference to he's a low level,
right.
He doesn't even know football.
I mean, I understand what the Patriots did, and you had to do it. You have to defend yourself at some point. You know, you can't just let this stuff go addressed. But it's
like fighting a girl.
Yeah, it's tough when
you can't win. If you knock the girl out, you're the bully. If you don't, you lose.
It's tough for a future Hall of Fame head coach in the NFL to go on and have to talk about this guy, and it's an uncomfortable thing. It just doesn't seem like a fair fight, but they had to do it. But, you know, that said, this is getting ridiculous. I mean, it really is. You know, this whole thing about, you know, now Bill Belichick's a liar on top of it. It's just, you know.
Well, you can blame the commissioner for that one.
Well, yeah.
Because he gives credence to that belief because he didn't buy it and actually laughed at it.
Look, you know, we could go over this again, but that rule had to be clarified in 06 for a reason. Because there was a loophole in it, because it clearly said for use during a game, and the Patriots weren't using what they did during a game. The whole thing that Walsh says about, you know, why were they so deceptive if they thought it was within the rules? The Patriots are deceptive about everything.
That's true.
They're deceptive about what time practice is. You know, so I can see, you know, the head of video telling Matt, hey, if anyone asks you what you're doing, tell them, you know, this or that. You know, the Patriots found a more efficient way to do what everyone else was doing by using a video.
You cracked Gary up behind the glass with the phrase more efficient.
They did. They found a more efficient and effective way to do what everyone else was doing.
More efficient way to get money. I robbed a bank.
You know, no, stealing signals is okay. They found a better way of doing it so that they could go back and review it. And that's the part that was wrong once the 06 memo came out. Prior to that 06 memo, I want my coach finding those edges. You know,
I want my coach finding those edges too, but he has to know where the line is,
right,
where it crosses over into we're going to be heavily penalized.
Once the 06 memo came out from Ray Anderson, you know, who knows what happened with that memo.
I talked to a number
of people in this organization who said that memos come to different people at different times, and a lot of them don't get read by everyone. I don't know what happened with this memo. Bill Belichick has never said that he didn't see the memo.
And he can't, because then he looks even worse than he does now.
And all he said when the 06 memo comes up is, look, I was wrong. You know, I was wrong.
Right.
And so he's admitted that, you know. I have no excuse for post 06, but pre-06, I absolutely see where Belichick says, hey, doesn't say we can't do it for after the game.
Now, some of the interesting facts I thought that came out from the Matt Walsh thing were the sort of the specifics of how they did it, the talk of, they brought in a backup quarterback. He would look for certain signals, relay them to Charlie, who would relay them to Drew in that season in 00. And I also thought it was interesting, HBO contacted, I want to get this phrasing right, an anonymous offensive leader of the Patriots in 2000 or one of their leading playmakers in 2000.
Dan Klecko.
And that person corroborated everything Matt Walsh said, which I thought was interesting. And I haven't seen it get a lot of play.
It's anonymous, though.
No, yeah. And the only, like, hint, if you want to call it a hint, it could be they were showing video B-roll while it was being said, and okay. They showed Terry Glenn. So, you know, could be Terry Glenn, or that could not be. I mean, you think of offensive key players on that was not a very good team. Drew Bledsoe and Terry Glenn would be pretty high on the list.
I mean, I don't know.
The estimate was that they knew it helped 75% of the time was the number that he was given that it helped. They had an idea of what the defense was.
You know, and that could have been just somebody pumping
makes Drew look terrible.
You know, Matt Walsh had, you know, said, hey, is this stuff that I'm doing for you working? And maybe it's the guy just encouraging the kid, asking, saying, yeah, it really does work. You know, keep doing it.
75% of the time.
You know?
Gary not buying a word you say behind the glass. He's laughing, rolling
no,
eyes.
No.
He's usually pro-team like you, but he's just skeptical
but,
back
but
there.
But the point is, okay, prior to 06, in my mind, it was okay. They found a better way to do what everyone else was doing. Everyone's pretty much admitting to stealing singles when they can.
Right.
Everyone has admitted that. Right. The Patriots found a better way to do it. Okay? That's it. Now, again, once 06 comes and the memo comes out, you know, that memo should have been taken seriously and they should have stopped, you know, at that point. But by then, all the Super Bowls had been won.
True.
You know? So I don't know.
One thing I will say that bothers me, Fred, and this is – I hope this doesn't get us in trouble. But you know there's – the media is given specific rules when we come to camps like today, correct? It's do not report on any quotes that you hear from, you know, player to coach to player at practice.
Right.
And nothing
no
on
– formations.
Formations, trick plays, or personnel groupings. That sort of, in my mind, flies in the face of, well, this taping was such a little thing. It couldn't have had much effect. I mean, they're basically saying they care, they place an importance on if the Boston Herald writes that Sammy Morris took reps at slot receiver. They're saying that's important in one sentence, and then in the next sentence they're saying, what could Matt Walsh possibly see at a walkthrough that could in any way help the Patriots? Isn't that a little bit...
I don't think they've ever said that. Other people have said it. The Patriots have never said it.
That's true. Sorry, I'm shooting their messengers.
Right.
And by their messengers, I include the Big Show and WEEI. No right. offense, Fred, but I generally assume those guys, at least one of them, talks to some of the same people you talk to, and messages get put out
there.
Does that happen? Can you just...
Oh, absolutely.
Messages get put out through people?
But in this case, I've heard a lot of people say that. People outside of even New England say that, you know.
They have messengers all over the country.
Okay. But, but you know, I think what other people have said and what Matt Walsh has said himself is that he was there setting up equipment.
Right.
So what was he doing? Was he setting up equipment, or was he sitting there taking notes? Or did he happen to look up and see Marshall Faulk catch a kick return?
Well, no, I think he was setting up equipment. Now, again, I don't know what to believe
Matt Walsh. So then the obvious question is how much could he have learned if he was actually setting up equipment?
But I think he's seen enough football. I think you've seen enough football where you would remember a couple little things that might help.
Right.
Do I think it was
right.
huge? No.
Right. Okay. That's exactly the point. You know, and I think,
but I got Mike Shanahan telling me in one of these random stories I was reading that Matt Walsh is a lowly film guy. He couldn't really give anything to a coach that would help him. I don't agree with that. I think not huge, not, you know, swing the
well, yeah,
factor of victory.
I don't buy that either. You know, that football is like this big secret that, you know, only people who have been in the
right.
league 30 years can understand. I didn't like when Bill said that. You know,
okay,
that
good.
It was an insult that...
I also didn't like when he said, now we weren't in the same book club together or whatever.
I
Matt
like
Walsh
that.
Never said you were in the same book
no,
club.
No, but...
He referenced one time when you talked about your boy
Twice.
Buzz Bissinger's Friday Night Life.
Twice.
Right.
Right, so...
But maybe those are the only memories he had. He didn't try to make it sound like he was best buddies with Bill.
I know, but it was a kind of a zinger, just like what Walsh did.
Well, that I like.
Yeah.
I like when people shoot little shots back and forth.
You know, so... Again, it was tough for Bill because it's a bad position to be in when you're of that stature and you're talking about some lowly.
Should he not have done it?
Who?
In the format that Bill. Should they have held out for a 60 Minutes interview or?
Well, the problem with 60 Minutes is it takes 6 months to do one of those, and they wanted to get it out before the HBO show.
Because that's the only thing I would say is it kind of got chopped up and edited, and it's so quick and. I just wonder if it was the best outlet for
you. Yeah, but again, they were under a time constraint because they wanted to get it out Friday before 8 o'clock. So it was just...
Clean up.
You know, I just... it's just ridiculous. And the whole Spectre thing, it's nonsense. It's stealing...
So ridiculous.
At the end of the day, it's stealing defensive signals.
And offensive.
We've already established that that's at the most personnel groupings and whatever.
You know what I've never understood? When I was in college, our defensive signals were three numbers. I had a wristband. I looked down. The first number was the front. The second number was any blitz or adjustment. And the third number was the coverage. How come they didn't do that? And then you can change, because you change the wristband week to week. So a one on any one week can be totally different from one the next week. How come more teams didn't do that? They use it on offense. Brady has a wristband on offense. Why not use it on defense?
I don't know. But, you know, the difference between the Patriots and all the other teams, you know, there might be some teams that match the Patriots in their, you know, just not leaving any stone unturned. But the Patriots, everything matters. You know, it like Bill said, it's a mosaic. You know, it all, you know, you put all these pieces. Each piece alone means nothing. But when you add it all up, it could mean something.
But that's my point.
Yeah.
That's what the filming could mean.
There's
it's something.
There's no doubt that they did it for no reason. I mean, they did it for a reason. You just don't know what you might find out. And then you give that to a savant like Ernie Adams, and now it may become valuable information. You just don't know. So, hey, as long as they're letting us do it, let's film it. You know? And I think Walsh and everyone else admitted that there was never any rush.
Right.
You know, it was not high on the priority. You know, by the end of the week, if they got to that part of it, they'd get to it. You know, a lot of teams, because they do change their signals sometimes from half to half, it was meaningless.
Right.
But they did it just in case. Right. And for some teams, I'm sure it did benefit them.
I'm sure it did. Some of the dumber, poorly coached teams, I bet, is
right.
Where it helped.
You know, and shame on those teams for not changing their signals and not assuming that, you know, you're standing out there in wide open daylight doing signals that people aren't watching them. I mean, who was it that said that they hired a lip reader to do Gruden? You know, they had a lip reader. Shanahan, the Cowboys, had a camera set up in the press box. It supposedly was this Christian newspaper, and the team they were playing kicked them out because it was set on the sideline of the opponent. They got kicked out. I mean,
I wouldn't be using God as my backup on when I'm doing something devious like that. So we don't beat this to death, and we talk about camp a little bit. We did bring up a little bit the Tony Maserati story, where he ripped everyone involved with this, including fans and the guy wearing a Brewski jersey on Sunday. Tried to defend himself a little bit yesterday. Was on the Big Show on WEEI. I'd be interested to see what some of our emails are on that for people in Patriots Nation who've read it. The other issue that I wanted to bring up just left my mind totally.
Well, the Tony Maserati thing, I mean, Paul had it best. At first, it started out okay.
Oh, yeah.
But by the end, he was like in the corner just throwing punches.
And he admits at the time he wrote it, he was angry. I didn't hear exactly for what, but he did say, yeah, I was angry when I wrote it. And you were right when you said he probably should have counted to 10 before pressing send and sending it to the Herald.
Yes.
Because now it's out there. You can't take it back once you write it. You can't say, well, I meant this or I meant you wrote it. It says something.
I mean, these yahoos that he's making fun of are the people who, you know, make his job possible.
Right. It's like us. We make fun of some of our listeners, but we know they're our listeners, I mean, and they're the reason we're here.
Now, you know, Paul, I know Paul kind of shares a lot of Tony's beliefs. You know, he's just not into the yahooism. But that's what a real fan is. They stick by their team through thick and thin. You know, they fight against other, you know, teams, fans. You know, that's why these communities and these message boards are so fun, is because you have people that, you know, are so ardent about their position, they're willing to get into arguments about it. And, you know, it's barroom conversation. That's
what
makes it fun. You know, when everyone just is right down the middle, it's no fun.
Right. Like Paul takes the fun out of everything.
Exactly.
The other issue I was going to say.
Pants Perillo.
Did you see Easterbrook is calling for suspension?
Yeah.
Which is stupid.
Because he says that Belichick is lying. And I swear to God, he is not lying.
Well, but the commissioner thinks he's lying.
He didn't buy the explanation. Don't tell me that rule was clear if you had to have somebody issue a memo to clarify it. And that memo is not the same as the rule that was written in the Constitution and bylaws. It's that.
But once you get the memo, you're supposed to abide by the memo.
And Bill never said when that question was asked, that, well, I still misinterpreted. He,
right.
From that point on, he said, look, I was wrong.
Right.
I was wrong. Once, you know, when that, you know, but prior to that, I've read that rule and I freaked out when I read it because it clearly says for use during the game.
Right.
That's the way the rule ends.
For, a game or the game?
For use during the game. So, I mean, yeah, I'm going to take advantage of that.
Are we done with this?
No.
That would be my next question.
I don't think so because I think that it's just going to – I think the local media is done with it, but I think there's going to be people from national whatever that are going to be following this through.
But what's next?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think they might. I think they're going to get helped out by Tim Donaghy. Have you read that?
Oh, no. This is the NBA referee. What happened here?
I don't know the exact specifics, but he's trying to bargain to get his prison time down. And he sent a letter to the NBA, I guess, from his lawyers that was obtained by one of those New York papers who seem to always obtain every letter, saying that he would cooperate to help them if in exchange for a lesser sentence, and that there was inappropriate information being exchanged between referees, coaches, and players involving gambling in NBA games.
Oh, boy.
So he is basically saying, I'm not the rogue employee that David Stern has been referencing. Now, the NBA is totally shooting. This is a whack job. You know, they're sticking with that stance that he's a wacko. But you never know. I mean, it's possible that there's other players, coaches, and...
Well, the way the Patriots... The way the Celtics look at home and the way they look on the road, something's up. How can they be so different teams when they play on the road and at home?
The fix is in. The fix is in.
I'm not speculating on that, and I'm not throwing that out there at all. I think Donaghy was more or less isolated. I think they would have found out more by now if.
Well, there's some implications that these are all like speculation, rumors, whatever. That the district attorney's office, wherever was the exact one that was investigating,
yeah.
A lot of pressure was put on them by the NBA. A lot of pressure.
Oh, really?
To make sure Donaghy was the only guy found out and make this go away.
Wow.
If all this comes out, goodbye Spygate, because this is a way bigger issue.
Yeah.
Way bigger. There is even, you know, the implication that the NBA wants large market teams involved in big games. And that's gone back forever to Patrick Ewing and the frozen card on draft lottery day.
But the thing that's also, but at the same time, the thing that's bad about that is it does emphasize the whole cheating in sports thing. So this,
well, that's there to
this
stay
will be
now.
The headliner, and the Patriots will always be mentioned as another example.
Right. And steroids in baseball you know, right on down. But that's always going to be there now, and that has nothing to do with sports in my mind, because I think the cheating has been there for 200 years. That has to do with there's a lot of media, websites, TV, everything covering all this crap, and nothing sneaks by. Everything gets out there.
All right, it's 12:31. We need to take a break. We'll be right back.
Taylor on the turn, takes a touch, and buries it. 1-0 Rams. The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Rams have the lead. Taylor Twellman just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants. The Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile including Hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demulus Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots extra points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Taylor on the turn, takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Rams! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Rams have the lead. Taylor Twellman just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants. The Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Again, I need to do another shout-out to Conley's. They sent two types of wings today for us, steak roll-ups.
Everything. All three things are tremendous.
All the fixings. Great. It's 164 Belmont Street in Watertown.
Go.
The phone number is 617-303-0237. If you want to give them a call, maybe they'll ship stuff out worldwide. I don't know.
Tell them PFW sent you.
Right.
And by the way, Conley's, much like the Patriots' success, established in 2001.
2001. Larry is saying, he's writing in, he says we should do a show from there.
I'll do a show from there. Can we do that, Larry? I mean, Gary? Gary, we should get, can we throw an ISDN line up at Conley's and we'll do a show? That's all you need, right? I hear that.
Gary's mic is broken today. He can't talk to us.
Why? I thought it was like $100. More than that?
Maybe they'll do it for us.
Yeah, maybe they have one. Maybe you should talk to them. That's a good way for them to get in. You know, maybe they can do some deals with ESPN Radio. They're always looking for places to broadcast from and do things. Oh, just because we have more listeners than ESPN Radio Boston, it is what it is.
And also, this weekend is big in Gillette. The NCAA Final Four lacrosse is coming with games on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
It's all levels, right?
Yeah, well,
the championship games.
Division I semis are on Saturday, and then Division II and III championship games are on Sunday, and then on Monday is the championship for Division I.
And the Final Four is Syracuse.
Was it Syracuse, Duke, and Virginia and Johns Hopkins? Oh, no, wait. I thought Virginia beat Syracuse. Virginia plays Syracuse. Okay.
I like it. Those are the big names, right?
John Hopkins. Yeah, Maryland's a big name. Navy's a big name.
But I've heard all of those related to lacrosse before.
Oh, these are all the big ones.
So yeah. Duke has bounced back, huh?
Yes.
That's nice.
Yep.
I like to see that.
They bounced back.
And we got a couple orange teams. Virginia's got the orange. Syracuse, obviously.
My wife's alma mater came one game away from coming in with the Division III, Ithaca.
Ithaca.
They lost to Cortland in double overtime in the semis.
Wow. Who's the who are those matchups?
It's Portland against Salisbury, I think, in Division Three, and then Division Two is Lemoyne and somebody. I'm not sure. You go to NCAA.org and go to Salisbury Steak.
I knew that was coming. You laid that one up for him. So, Gary, you have to work all weekend, huh? You gonna be playing music? Can you play music during the games? Pump everybody up? Is this like NBA?
The only bad news about these is that because it's an NCAA event, no alcohol can be served.
Oh,
but
that's a long day.
Re-entry into the stadium is allowed, so you can go back out to your car and come back.
So Fred telling people to keep their stash in the trunk.
Oh, it's going to be a wild. Lacrosse tailgates are wild.
Tickets still available, right?
There are some tickets still available. I think they've sold about 40,000 so far, but... You know, this is Gillette. So
this place will be rocking.
It's going to be wild. It's going to be a good weekend if you like lacrosse.
At another event that the Revs fall behind.
So, very good stuff. Gary's busy.
Yeah, he is busy. He's got headphones on. He's playing with himself.
Doing all kinds. His wedding's coming up, you know.
Yes, he's mad at me.
I have to bring in my invitation. It's in the car. I forgot it.
Yeah, don't make any additions or corrections to the little sheet. He gets mad.
Well,
he's not happy right now that we're discussing
it. Well, it had I got confused because it had chicken, fish, or pasta. I checked them all. Was I not supposed to do that?
Well, I did hear someone say, well, what if we want different things? And I'm thinking, put one next to each.
I would like a beef selection, if that's possible. No? Okay, good.
Pasta. Oh, no, nobody can hear everything you've said this whole time? This is a terrible show then.
Okay, so Gary says there will be past hors d'oeuvres consisting of some type of beef.
And we just learned that all the things he's been saying over the last 5 or 10 minutes, the listeners did not hear.
That's good.
So what happened to your mic, Gary?
He said there's a wire loose or something. I don't know.
That snake get back there again? A wire out?
But does your future, doesn't she have MCAS that week? Isn't she going to?
Well done, Fred.
All right. Paul should be here pretty soon, right?
And he'll have news and notes. He's looking to, I'll tell you, some of the players we're looking to get. Victor Hobson, new linebacker. Chad Jackson, who, as expected, lining up with the quote-unquote first group, opposite Randy Moss in the old Dante Stallworth role. So getting a chance to win that job and have a key part, I'd say, in this offense. Some other interesting things. Marcus Pollard may be done. Did not look good out there.
Well, he
looks like
slow.
A 17-year veteran tight end or whatever he is. Creaky. And I think it's okay that Kyle Brady looks creaky when he's just going to be a blocking tight end. Marcus Pollard's supposed to be a pass catcher, a playmaker. So yeah, I wasn't impressed with my first viewing of Marcus Pollard.
Maybe he needs to just loosen up a little.
Randy Moss still.
Yeah,
he caught a couple outs where you watch all these other guys, these like C.J. Browns, and then Moss does it, and you forget how ridiculously easy he makes it. It's like, oh, yawn, I'll catch an out, and then I'll just go back to the huddle. And Gutierrez, I think, has looked pretty good throwing the ball. O'Connell still has some ways to work.
I'd say of all, you know, it's tough with the throwing because obviously there's no pass rush and they're just throwing to guys who aren't being covered. But Gutierrez gets back into his set faster than anyone, I'd say.
Well,
right
Gutierrez, he is the, I don't know what you want, he's the riser right now. You know, we talked about how the castle window is sort of closing.
Right.
Well, Gutierrez is right in that point where he's now had a good year of coaching in the system. So he's starting to get it. He has the physical tools. Now we see, does he take the next step that Castle we've kind of seen couldn't take. But, yeah, he's throwing the ball well. He looks comfortable out there. It's interesting because we thought Castle looked good about this same time in his development, and then he kind of hasn't moved on from there. Dragosevic, the punter that everybody falls in love with, really struggled.
Really?
Just working on the side with Brad Seeley. But like one in every three kicks was a shank.
Really?
And then the other one was a boomer. Just very. Now, he might be tweaking something with his mechanics and, you know, working through something, but he looked very erratic. CJ Jones, I don't want to beat on a guy's grave, but he's terrible. He just cannot catch the football. And for a receiver, that's a tough thing. Other than that, Maroney out there. Running around.
Falk, Morris, they all look
good. Yeah, everybody's out there sort of, you know, doing their thing. Everybody will be happy to know Sean Crable's legs still look ridiculously skinny in my mind. I actually heard Shalice Manza-Young from the Pro Joe commenting, I think Crable's legs are skinnier than Moss's. So not just me. Right. Other people are seeing it. But yeah, it's, you know, they're out there. It's a beautiful day. They're running around on beautifully manicured green fields.
It really is. It's nice. It makes you yearn for training camp.
It does. Because, yeah. I mean, you get a little taste, but then it's kind of now we, you know, twice next week and then you're off
again.
Were
you surprised at the attendance? Because there were about 75 guys out there.
Oh, no.
No?
I mean, these are mandatory. Without being mandatory, okay. They're mandatory.
All right.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to be here.
Yeah.
If you want to be a part of the Patriots in 2008, you're at these camps. I've seen, you know, there's other Urlacher and Cedric Benson are skipping out in Chicago.
Right.
You know, there's other places where guys skip out, but I don't think it's a good move. Unless you're Tom Brady, you can get away with it. You don't miss these.
Now, the Patriots have not announced any rookie signings yet.
No.
The draft picks are not technically signed yet.
Right.
So...
But they do that late, and sometimes they announce them in bunches, three or four picks.
I know the Jets have announced like three or four signings. Not the Jets, the Dolphins have announced three or four signings already.
Yeah, I don't make much of that.
No, I know. They usually come in bunches toward the beginning.
Yeah, and I don't foresee it being an issue. Of course, I never foresee it being an issue until it's an issue. But, you know, I just look at these guys, and I don't see anyone who's really ever gained by not getting – I mean, if you get in there, you're getting money. You're getting, whether it's a little less, whatever, and you're setting yourself up for the next one.
Yeah.
Because if you can play, you're going to get a big contract. You don't even have to wait for that rookie deal to play out. We've seen it a number of times here with Seymour and Warren. If you can play, whatever the 5% say you gave up to get in a little early, you'll get back times 10 on that second deal. Because you can only be hindered by getting into – I mean, let's look at Mayo. The guy could play. He could play this. He could be a starter for all we know in the first month.
Right.
So to miss time in training camp, you're hurting yourself more than anyone else.
Yeah.
You'll get the money. Yeah. Just get in camp.
Yep. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. Eric is still in Egypt. And Mike in Wilbraham writes in. He's the 14-year-old kid who wants to fight Eric. Before I get to Eric, I have a story that almost made me fall down laughing. I was at a friend's graduation party the other day, and I was talking with his dad about how I'm going to the lacrosse championships in Foxborough. When I explained to him that they were at the Razor, he exclaimed, "Oh, you have to go by Bass Pro to get there." Obviously, I could not believe what I was hearing, and I almost passed out because I laughed so hard. And when I talked about the store, he also said that he had been to the restaurant, and you guessed it, he loved the wings.
Ah, boo.
No,
wait,
it
was you?
No, I tell you, you know, I agreed with you guys because they were getting, you know, fatty and loose. I've been there a couple times since then, and I told them, cook it a little extra long, and they're right back up there where they were.
But they are not as good as Connolly's.
Well, Connolly's is outstanding. But the key at Bass Pro for anyone going there and ordering the wings, just tell them to cook them a little extra long. Make them crispy.
So Bass Pro is now bigger than Gillette Stadium. You have to go, quote, go buy Bass Pro to get to Gillette.
I tell you, for some people it is. Also, I'll be at training camp in a couple days, says Mike, and since I am the original person who wanted to fight Eric, I think I should get the first shot at his cork-soaking ass.
I agree.
I will tell you what day I'll be there so we can coordinate it. And one football question, I heard that Jonathan Wilhite is a terrible corner, mostly from Tom, but can he contribute on special teams as a gunner or kickoff covering specialist? Also, what are the chances that Vince Red stays around with the team in some capacity? I'm excited about his measurables, but I do not know if he can play at this level. What do you guys think?
I think Vince Red is a 100% lock to be with this team this year. Whether that's IR, whether that's wherever they can get him, practice squad, I think Vince Red will be on that sheet that lists everybody on the roster this entire year. I think he's just too tempting. His whole package, whether it's the size, the speed, the athleticism, the fact that he, you know, the Al Groh system guy, he's got some comfort in the system or similar systems, I think he's going to be here. Wilhite, yeah, all these guys they drafted can play special teams. Who knows if they end up doing it, but right now, I just saw out there the first group of kick returners included Chad Jackson returning the ball, then the second group was Terrence Wheatley returning the kickoff. Oh. So looks like he's...
No Matt Slater?
He was there opposite one of them. It might have been C.J. Jones and him as one grouping. But it looks like Wheatley's going to get a chance to be in the mix as kickoff returner. Now, obviously, Ellis Hobbs isn't here right now, so
right.
He was the guy last year.
Iggy from Madrid says, I can't believe Greg Easterbrook is claiming for Belichick to be suspended. Goodell made an example with the Patriots applying a very severe punishment both to the Patriots and Belichick, and this moron wants now a suspension just because Matt Walsh just talked to the commissioner. Even if he is playing the role of the contrarian, his moronic suggestion is just ridiculous. And by the way, I do not feel it was a good idea for the CBS interview with Armin Katayan. Everybody in the organization should move on, and moving on in this case means, in my view, no more talk, interviews, official statements, nothing, just talk football.
I think that is up for debate, whether that interview with Armin Katayan, and in that format where you're going to get 2 minutes of a 15-minute interview, I think it's up for debate whether that was a good idea in the whole PR, promoting the franchise, answering Matt Walsh, beating him to the punch, whatever. It's up for debate. Paul Perillo's here and did not wear a hat.
No. Paul got his...
the top of his dome is Rojo.
Uh-oh. Yeah,
but I purposely didn't wear a hat today.
All why? Right. You wanted to tan it up a little?
Get a little sun on it, yeah. That's
more good. Importantly, Conley's in Watertown is phenomenal.
Yeah, you guys...
Wings galore.
Paul's here. Sushil Trivedi is here. He's doing a senior project from his school, Moses Brown in Providence.
How come he can't pronounce the Patriots' names, but he pronounced that name perfectly? How does he do that?
I just was got lucky, I guess. But anyway, he's going to be shadowing me this week, so he's kind of sitting off in the fringes.
Be good.
But you guys,
his shadow is shaped very differently than yours. He's tall and athletic. You're not.
He's going to be playing football at Liberty next year. Trinity.
Now that's the Fred Kirsch I know and love.
Vince Red comes from Liberty, though.
I know. That's why I was probably thinking Liberty.
Good little tie-in.
He's going to be playing football at Trinity. But you guys, if you want to heat this stuff up, there's also... steak and cheese wraps here.
There's also a six-pack of Bud Light in there that they brought us.
So,
I guess they thought we could drink during this show.
So, do you want to heat that up, Paul?
I think they made that assumption based on the show.
They listened once and said, those guys are hammered.
So, good stuff. Sushil, you got to eat. Because this is your lunch.
He's taking notes because this is his future. It's his project.
I know, but
he can't graduate unless he turns in this paper.
But you need food.
But he needs to graduate.
He's a growing boy.
And move on to college.
He needs to eat.
Jeez. All right.
But this is Conley's in Watertown.
You're his official host here or mentor here. And you're eat. Screw the notes. Just eat.
There's always time for notes, but food is now. Conley's, 164 Belmont Street in Watertown. Big thank you again.
Dwayne, our boy in Boston, head down to Watertown. Go to Conley's. Buy something. Tell him PFW sent you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's see. Getting back to the emails, webradio@patriots.com. I'll let Paul eat a little bit, and then he can fill us in on some of the interviews that he did while he was down there. Let's see. Sid is catching up. He's got some T-shirts. By the way, what's the status on the T-shirts?
I don't know. What's the stat? I think we're waiting for Eric's. Are we waiting for Eric's?
I thought we said to hell with Eric.
Oh, then talk to Maura and order them. I think she's got them pretty much ready.
Really? Okay. All right. He had four guys, so many positions. I don't know what that means. And PFW Progress, want a friend, get a dog, want football talk, buy us lunch. Okay. Not bad.
Not bad.
But no. Let's see. Who's this right here? This is Harry writing in. And he says, the media coach and commissioner are not providing the information needed about Spygate. Media, if they reported that the Pats stole some signs, but it isn't a big deal, then nobody would watch SportsCenter or buy the Herald. They ask the opinion of experts and former players who never bother to research the facts of the case. Coach Belichick, you saw the CBS interview, right? When asked about hiding the cameras, he could have said, yes, we were hiding them. We had what we thought was a legitimate and permissible competitive advantage and didn't want to share it. Commissioner Goodell, he continues to answer questions with as little information as possible. He goes in front of the press, makes a one-minute speech, and fields questions, usually bad questions, and the facts are never stated. Why can't the NFL give a summary of the situation? To this day, most people do not know that the Patriots admitted to the commissioner that they have done this since Belichick arrived. Basically, the NFL assumed the Patriots taped or attempted to tape every single game when they levied the fines. If five former assistants each show up with five tapes, it means nothing. The value of the tapes and advantage gained is the difference between doing this with video or a guy with a pen and paper. The advantage is knowing defensive signals during the second meeting of the same opponent, assuming they have not changed their signs.
And just for the record, they did not tape every game. They taped when they thought they were going to see the team again. So every division game and every time they thought, you know, the Colts or
AFC team,
they thought they were going to see in the postseason. Bill estimated it's definitely more than 50% of the games, but it
and probably some coaches game. That, in addition to that, some coaches maybe they weren't overly familiar with.
Right.
You know, like a Butch Davis, I'm thinking, with the Cleveland tapes right. that we saw. I can't believe we're still talking about this, but are we? That's what everybody wants to talk about.
Well, I mean, that's a lot of the emails that have come in. You know, people need to get their two cents in because since our last show.
Well, what exactly is not being told?
At this point, I don't know. I mean,
that whole email was like, this wouldn't be happening if people just, if they just said what happened.
Well,
some of it is Goodell doing that. He knows information and he tells you later that, oh yeah, I knew that a long time
ago. Here's the thing.
No, but he's withholding information that's damning. Right. Not like this guy is saying if they just said what happened, people would realize it's not a big deal. Completely disagree with that. I think.
Well,
that
I still think it would
deal,
make it less
why
of a story.
Well,
I think Goodell has hurt the story by doing his little. Well yeah, we knew that.
But I agree with that because I don't think Goodell has handled this situation.
But someone
well
who
at all.
Goes back and does the research when this thing broke back in September.
Yep.
And Goodell levied his fine on the Patriots. Goodell never said. He said it was for the totality of what they did, but he never said they've been doing it since, you know, Belichick was in New England. But he did leak it out to Chris Mortensen. And the next morning, Chris Mortensen said it, but it really didn't get much play.
It doesn't have the
but
same.
But why not just say it? Why give it to Chris Mortensen and let him say it?
It has a lot more emphasis if the commissioner just says it.
Right. You know, you're just assuming that everyone's going to read or remember what Chris Mortensen said. And it's just not the right way. It wasn't the right way to do it. And I think it did contribute to some of the. You know, I still read things today, like that Greg Easterbrook article. There's so many factual errors. Okay, make your case if you think he's going to be. If you think you want him suspended. But there's factual errors in it.
Okay, help me out on that one because I don't read Greg Easterbrook. So what did he write?
He wants him suspended.
Well,
that's not a fact, though.
Well, he wrote. He wants Bill Belichick suspended because he's a liar. And because he hasn't admitted he was wrong.
What's the factual errors, though?
It's just that the Patriots were clandestine in how they taped. No, they weren't. They were right out in the open. You know? You know, and by doing it clandestine, you know that you're doing something wrong. That does not prove that. Like we said before, the Patriots are clandestine about everything they do.
But they're clandestine.
Clandestine, whatever. You know? So That proves nothing. If you have a more efficient way of doing something that you think is within the rules, why tell people you're doing it?
That's the part that bothers everybody, by the way.
Because
they insist on saying that they thought it was within the
then
rules.
Then why did the
when
NFL
everybody knows
have
that
to
wasn't.
Clarify it in 06?
The NFL doesn't buy the story, so don't use the NFL as your ally
why
and suit your fit.
Why did the NFL have to clarify that rule in 06?
Because they weren't stopping it.
Because the rule was vague, because it clearly said for use during the game.
Okay, so if you had any more doubts in 06,
right.
that and ended it. And it didn't end it to the Patriots, number one. Number two,
that's true.
Nothing you're ever going to tell me is going to convince me that they didn't know what the rule said. The rule's not vague. So
it is
that's
vague,
fine.
Paul. That's why they clarified.
Go
it.
Go read Peter King from Monday.
Okay, so now he's taking Peter King.
No. He has the exact rule. This has nothing to do with Peter King. He has the rule. You read that and tell me what part you don't understand.
The rule says for use during a game.
No, it doesn't. It does not say for use during a game. That's the misinformation that's being
Paul,
put out there.
I have
there.
It.
Well, go read Peter King right now and tell me where it says for use during the game.
The 06 one doesn't say that.
He has it on his, on
right.
his Monday morning
I've
quarterback.
Seen,
go
I've
look
seen
at it right
the
now.
Paul. I saw
like
it in the
like
book.
I said when I started, I can't believe we're still talking about this.
Paul,
this is just
in
over.
The book.
I saw it
the last
in print. It does not say for use during the game.
What is the
it
last?
It says in the game. That doesn't say for use during the game.
For
that's not the same thing.
In the game.
It's all of these things are prohibited during the game.
It doesn't
not
say,
for use during the game.
Oh, God, Paul.
There's a difference, Fred.
And that's why they had to clarify it.
No, they had to clarify it because someone was very bright and cerebral and said, this is how I'm going to get around this rule. Even though we all know that the guy is too smart to not understand what that rule meant.
And at that point,
that's why they clarified
when Bill Belichick is questioned for 06, post 06, he has no excuse. He says, look, I was wrong.
But they don't say that. They keep saying that they thought what they were doing was good.
No. Wait a minute. Hold on for a second.
Our mistake, according to what he said on CBS the other night, our mistake was we should have gone to the league and made sure that what we were doing was okay.
And they've apologized for not doing that. When Katayan questioned him on post 06, he had no int. He said, I was wrong. I was wrong. I mean, how much more clear can you be than that? But people, they're not
three and
gonna,
a half months after the fact.
They're not going to be happy until this guy is, like, you know, banned from the NFL.
He said I was wrong after he said the stuff about.
He said he was wrong on the apology that came out the day after this thing happened.
Let's just move on because I don't agree with that.
Go back to the statement.
I saw it. I read the statement, and that was the part that most people had an issue with.
Oh my God! It's like I don't know what people want from this guy.
They don't want excuses, Fred.
It wasn't an excuse.
They want an open admission and an apology. They don't want excuses. Just like no one accepted the Herald's excuse. They said they were sorry. No one bought it. No one's buying it. So don't just say it's like a blanket thing. It's like that.
I buy it.
Okay.
I think that they wish that they hadn't.
You're a body of one.
I'm not talking about what Tomasi wrote. I'm talking about the Herald. I think the Herald really did apologize to the Patriots. I really do.
But no one is satisfied with it.
Who isn't?
Did you get any of our emails? Have you read anything coming into our website?
I think still an editor, you know, I think they should give out who the editor was and all that stuff, you know, and maybe that guy internally should be suspended. I don't think you need to.
So you're not satisfied with an apology?
Well, what?
That's what other people say. They're not satisfied with this. They think there should have been more repercussions. Well, I don't. I think the punishment was fine.
I don't.
That's what a lot of other people, like Greg Easterbrook, are looking for more than just an apology.
But what was the punishment on the Herald?
Nothing. And people aren't satisfied with it.
See, I disagree. I think there was a punishment. It's their credibility. It's their
public
image.
But that's different. That's the same thing the Patriots did.
I don't think a court of law should do anything like that, but I would think internally the Herald should do something.
So you want a head to roll?
I don't care.
You want someone suspended. No, I don't think you're wrong, by the way. I'm not trying to set you up here.
At this point, I don't really care what the Herald does. I think for the Herald's own integrity, they should be doing something, but I don't really care what they do.
I kind of agree with you, Fred. I think someone should be at least reprimanded.
Yeah, I think, and you know, but I think that they did apologize.
I understand that my point is you're taking it literally. My point is people aren't accepting that apology, much like a lot of people nationally aren't just accepting the Patriots' apology.
They want more than the
That's
apology.
The only correlation I'm trying to draw
and,
here.
And you know, but at the same time, I think the Patriots did apologize, and now, they got punished.
But now. They got punished, but they're apologizing now.
I think they apologized the day after this with their statement. And they were told, don't talk to this because it's still under investigation.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Was the term misinterpreted the rule in the original statement?
Yes.
Yes.
That's not an apology. That's an excuse.
I think post 06, that's exactly why they were doing it. And why they were doing it in the wide open. I mean,
no one ever suggested. Were they supposed to be hiding behind a tree?
Well, if you
were they supposed to build a tree on the lighthouse?
Well, usually when you're trying to get away with something, you don't want people to find out.
They didn't want people to know they were taping the coach,
which is why they said, "I'm taping the quarterback's feet, the holder, the kicker." They had excuses ready.
It wasn't supposed to be a secret taping.
They had
it was supposed to be a secret.
They had a better way of doing it that they didn't want to share with people.
Okay.
I mean, everyone steals signals. The Patriots were doing it in a more efficient way.
Yeah, one's legal and one's not.
No.
Yes. This whole paper and pencil thing
right.
is not anywhere near as effective as taping.
Exactly. That's my point.
That's why one's legal
That's
and one's
point.
Not.
That's my point. It's not of effective, and why would you say, hey, we found out a better way to do it. We're going to share it with you now.
Why would you say it?
The rules.
Why would you say it? Because it's cheating. That's why you wouldn't say it.
It's not
of
cheating.
Of course you wouldn't say it.
It's not. It wasn't cheating pre-06.
Okay.
Be more effective to shoot the defender and then run by him, but it's not legal. Right? If you're running down the field, have you seen the last Boy Scout? You shoot the guy and score a touchdown. That's more effective, but it's illegal.
So now let's take it to the extreme.
But we can. That's what I'm talking
about.
That's why there's rules.
Do you think that's much more silly than you saying they didn't tell anybody because they had a more effective way of doing it and they didn't want to share it?
Absolutely.
You think that's the reason they weren't telling anybody? Not because they knew they were breaking a rule and didn't want anybody to know?
You don't think that there's things that every team does that's, you know, they found out a better method that
and
they
I'm
don't
sure
want to
they don't
people?
And I'm sure the ones that are against the rules, they don't want to share with anybody. Yes.
What about
I
the
agree.
Ones that aren't against the rules?
Then they won't want to share those either.
Exactly.
Those aren't really appropriate to this conversation.
Right.
Why would
But we have to have some people that want to talk about
football. Well, I'd like to actually talk to you and find out what you spoke with players about.
Not a lot. We did get Hobson. We did get Hobson.
If you're out, you won't even take.
We did get Hobson. We did get Chad Jackson.
Okay, good.
We did get. I talked to Brandon Merriweather for a little while. And
did you ask him about frostbitten fingertips caused him to drop interceptions?
I didn't, but I asked him.
According to the Globe's Chris Gasper,
I asked him if he was working on some of that stuff, and he smiled and laughed and said, "Yeah, you see the drills I'm doing on." And I was like, "Well, what specific stuff?" And he didn't really get into it.
He's not a big talker.
No, but he was very, very respectful. Very, he seemed more confident to me. Remember how last year he seemed mousy all the time?
He's on the verge of a Pro Bowl, according to the Globe.
Andy and I are joking with Chris Gasper a lot because he's obviously he's got a good relationship with Brandon Merriweather.
But he really did bring up the frozen fingertips in the cold weather.
So we told him, Fred,
to drop balls.
Andy and I told Chris that we're going to let him have it on pictures.com.
You kidding me? Frostbitten fingertips is why you drop those balls?
But Chad Jackson, I think he recognizes the opportunity that he has. Talked a little bit about Dante Stallworth not being here. He hopes he can do some of those things. Catching the ball, running after the catch, going over them, things like that he thinks he can bring to the offense. Feels very comfortable in the offense. Victor Hobson, I started on him, and then Chad Jackson came, and I left, and I got someone else to tape Victor Hobson, so I didn't hear a lot of what he said. The beginning was he was very soft-spoken, talked about the organization a little bit generically. Happy to be here. Hope I can help the ball club and things like that.
Forgotten newcomer.
Yeah.
Who had the biggest crowd?
Well, it's funny. Matt Light had a huge crowd around him, and then Bill came over, and everybody left and went to Bill.
I thought Bill wasn't speaking.
Bill talked?
People had to request him if they wanted to talk to him.
Wow.
And he stopped and waited, and then everybody left Matt Light and went to Bill, and then Bill said, no problem, Matt. And Light walked away. Literally, there were 25 people around Matt Light, and they all left. And he was walking by, and I looked at him. I go, well played, young man. And he started laughing.
So what did Bill have to say? Did you go to him?
I did not listen to Bill. He was very short. He couldn't have been more than two questions.
Okay. So getting back to Chad Jackson, you liked
what
you heard?
I didn't get the part that you and I had talked about. There was a huge crowd around.
But you liked what you heard. You liked his approach.
Seems to be very level-headed, and I think it's probably dumb based on a five-minute conversation I had with him, but it seemed to me that he recognizes the opportunity that he has.
Well, and...
and that's important.
The other side of that coin of opportunity is end of opportunities.
Well, maybe that's...
You know what I mean?
There's nothing like a little fear to motivate.
You're coming to the end of the road here.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
I thought he looked good out there.
I thought he looked... it's shorts, it's helmets. I thought he looked like the guy that we saw a couple years ago that we were very impressed with.
But he's healthy for the first time, really healthy.
A lot about that, too. Like, last year at this time, Fred obviously was coming off the ACL. Mm-hmm. So he didn't have a chance to do any of these camps, and I think that was a big...
So you're telling me my prediction of Pro Bowl before the end of his rookie deal is still on the table.
How about my prediction of him being a starter this year? Is that okay?
I think that's a lot easier to achieve than Pro Bowl before the end of his rookie deal.
Well, for a guy who has, what, three career catches?
That's going out on a limb,
but who are the other options?
Gaffney?
No chance.
I
think Jabbar Gaffney describes his own game the right way. He can do everything, but can't do any of them at a starting caliber.
Did you guys talk about the particulars of people that weren't there, mm-hmm, and stuff like that? Okay.
A little bit, yeah.
Yep. Why, would you have anything specific you'd like to add? Any notes of why maybe a Wes Welker wasn't there?
No, rumblings? Bill was very close to where we were talking to Chad Jackson, and I kind of looked over, and I was trying to get his attention. I was going to ask about Wes, but he was talking to Burge, and then the whole group came over, and it's too late.
Okay. I'd say it was a decent media contingent, not huge.
Well, I think it is what it is at this point with what papers are going to...
Right, they have to split it up because the Celtics are playing and the Red Sox...
Well, even more, I think people have lost jobs and there's not as many bodies to go around, and I think you're going to see dwindling numbers in media coverage.
We're getting rid of the riffraff, basically. Yeah. There's a lot of dead weight that we have to get rid of.
And as I've said in the past, if you want the real news and the continuous news on the Patriots, you come to Patriots.com, you go to PFW Online, and you listen to this show.
That's right. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's 107. That means we need to take a break. We'll be right back.
Taylor on the turn, takes a touch, and buries it. 1-0 Rams. The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Rams have the lead.
Taylor Twellman just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, DeMoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
4-0 New England! What an opening night for the Revs in front of their home fans.
The New England Revolution are back, and 2008 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss exciting matches against conference rivals DC United and the New York Red Bulls, Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, and the Revolution's first ever appearance in Superliga, featuring the best teams from Major League Soccer and Mexico. Revolution season tickets also guarantee your ticket for David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. This event sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order season tickets today. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst! Are you kidding me?
Revolution.
All right, welcome. We're here. It is Saturday, April 26th, and finally, draft day is here. And this, of course, is PFW in Progress's draft extravaganza. We're all here getting ready to do what we do on draft day.
Now, Andy Hart breaks down the NFL draft.
And the Patriots are sitting there with Ellis, either draft him or trade.
Or Mendenhall.
One.
No. Scouts, Inc. agrees with me. They have Mendenhall as
two.
The third best player available.
The top 10.
There's no way he gets past the Jets at this point.
Who, Mendenhall?
Three.
Ryan and
McFadden.
Yeah.
Maybe Mendenhall.
Four.
Everybody here thinks the Jets will take Golston.
Rashard Mendenhall available.
Five.
For the record, Scouts, Inc. has Ellis, then Mendenhall, then
six.
Rivers.
Six.
I gotta think this is a guaranteed trade. Rashard Mendenhall, best player available.
Seven.
But who do the Cowboys want? Rashard Mendenhall.
Eight.
What does Cincinnati do here? Rashard Mendenhall?
Nine.
Chris Williams or that Brandon Elbert.
I'm going Rashard Mendenhall.
Ten.
Who's Dallas a target?
Rashard Mendenhall.
Yeah. 11.
So you think he's dumb, but he's smart, and he knows who the best back in this draft is. Rashard Mendenhall.
12.
I still think teams are going to kick themselves years down the road for passing on Rashard Mendenhall here.
13.
Terrible pick.
Why?
You left the best running back on the board in Rashard Mendenhall.
14.
If they take Rashard Mendenhall, it's a steal of 14.
15.
Start writing the story now in 5 years about looking back how they could have had Rashard Mendenhall.
16.
The news is the Lions got Rashard Mendenhall. Hopefully.
17.
Arizona could get Mendenhall.
18.
I just can't believe Rashard Mendenhall is falling like a stone.
19.
Rashard Mendenhall dropping like a stone.
20.
If you're Tampa Bay, do you take Rashard Mendenhall?
Yeah, but if I was any team in the last 15, I would have taken Mendenhall.
21.
Who's on the clock? Tampa? If they don't take
Rashard Mendenhall,
yeah,
I'd be disappointed in it.
22.
I mean,
Houston trading back up to get Mendenhall.
23.
Now, is this definitely for Mendenhall?
Yeah, why wouldn't it be?
Yeah, I gotta say it's for Mendenhall. It's gotta be.
24.
If you draft Mendenhall, he can be complimentary.
25.
Then you have Mendenhall, who I think can be a franchise bat.
26.
Pittsburgh, Mendenhall.
27.
Mendenhall, and I can root for the Steelers with Roethlisberger and Mendenhall.
29.
Lima Swede to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh Steelers select Rashard Mendenhall.
There goes.
sorry, but the Patriots became the second best team in the AFC right then. Mendenhall is ridiculous here.
30.
He's only said that's a terrible pick. The last six picks until Mendenhall went. Then he collapsed wildly.
Yeah, Eric. And you're supposed to be the gay one.
Who's on the clock?
By the way, I lost interest once Mendenhall got drafted.
Oh, that's a good one, Gary. Wow.
What was the final count?
Over 30. 30. Wow. That took a lot of work.
It did. He's been working hard in there.
That is a little uncomfortable. Your fascination.
What's the moral of the story?
Well, I was Andy taken out
Bart
of context.
Mendenhall.
Wow.
It seemed different on draft day.
All right.
No, it pretty much seemed just like that.
All right, webradio@patriots.com. Passing camp is done. Now, do they go out again tomorrow?
Yeah, but we're not.
We're not allowed.
We'll be done.
We'll go out
week.
Thursday and Friday. Is it Thursday and Friday or Wednesday and Thursday?
I thought it was Tuesday, Wednesday. Might be Wednesday, Thursday. We'll be out there twice next week.
What's today's date?
The 20th, 19th. I don't know.
20th. Wednesday and Thursday. I think 28th and 29th.
Oh, next week. But for this week, we're done?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're not. No. We just can't watch.
All right. That's when they do all the cool stuff.
The good stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think so. That's one of those where I really don't think there's anything cool going on.
No, we don't miss anything.
It's the same thing we saw.
No availability either?
No, next week.
But nothing.
Well, you can normal off-season make a request, and after workouts, the guy can come see you if he wants.
Yeah. Okay. Bill's not doing any formal press conferences?
I don't think so.
Okay.
He was not scheduled today. Apparently, they requested him. But on the media schedule that Stacey James passed out, it didn't list Bill Belichick at any time.
I think they should do Bill like that every day.
I agree. I agree. Make it nice
and
quick.
If you want Bill.
You just want him for the website. And the
right.
Video.
Oh, okay. Right. I'm sorry. Right. But that's a different argument, yeah. Fred.
You want
it for corporate reasons,
exactly.
And I can understand that.
Rob from... Somebody's at the door, Andy.
Hey, this is Brian Morey from the Hall at Patriot Place. Now it's time for smartass Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's word...
Yeah, that's a little more Brian Morey than we need at this point. In light of the great delivery by... what's the company's
Conley's.
Name? Conley's in Watertown of our chicken wings and great steak wrap, it's Chicken Fandanglies. Today's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day, Chicken Fandanglies.
Fred,
I don't want to know what that is. All right.
It's not really that bad.
Okay.
I can't say it, but.
All right, webradio@patriots.com. Rob from Brisbane, Australia writes it.
Gary, get a pin. Are we in Brisbane? Is there a pin in the map?
I don't think
we are.
We must be in Australia somewhere.
Well, there's a couple pins in Australia, but I don't know if Brisbane... All right, we're on the map, Brisbane. Slick-haired two-gender has
Rob's emailed
checked it out.
Very much. What do you got in your hair there, two-gender?
Is that hair
gel?
Gel? Is that hair gel?
Is that tonight?
I do, actually.
Oh, okay.
Eric?
Oh.
Is that a hair gel?
That's what it looks like, more than
rear
hair.
Dan's got a big day tonight.
Real hair gel.
Is that a hair gel?
You have an accident?
On a Tuesday, you were going to TGIF, taking her out to, thank God it's Fridays or something like that. Red Sox game. All right.
What does TGIF mean on Tuesday? What?
Thank God it's
Screw
Friday.
The Sox.
The restaurant.
Oh. You just... Why would you pick... What's wrong with you? Fred, have you been to Cabela's?
No, I have never been to a Cabela's.
You see they just had a big grand opening up in Maine somewhere?
Big double truck ad in the Globe.
Is that going to cut into Bass Pro's...
I think a lot of people will go up for curiosity, but then once they've seen it, I think... Geography will be, the determining factor in which one you go to.
These stores consider themselves regional destinations, correct?
Yes, they do.
With like 500 miles is their area.
They do.
So they are sort of competing.
They do. I mean, Cabela's actually wanted to open up down the street here about a mile and a half down the road, but they wanted the state to give them money to do it.
That was really interesting.
And the state said no way.
The state said no way.
Yeah.
Conley's coming back up on you?
Yeah, a little bit. Rob and the Diet Pepsi.
The six of them you've had since we got...
I've just had one.
Oh, I've had three. Yeah.
Really? Rob says...
I might have a little caffeine kicking in.
A question out there that isn't Patriots related in case you guys run out of Pat stuff to talk about. What do you think the Browns should do with Brady Quinn if Derek Anderson produces the same or better numbers this season
trade
or gets them into the playoffs? Should the Browns try and trade Quinn at the end of the season to a team like Minnesota? And what other teams do you think would be interested?
Teams that need a quarterback. T- Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Every year they're trying to get a quarterback.
The
Gruden
Jets
takes
could
any
be.
He can get.
The Jets could be at some point.
Sure, the Jets.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of teams out there that.
Yeah.
Now, it's what people think of Brady Quinn. He was available at the 20-whatever pick, so teams sort of passed on him at one point. The Dolphins passed on him.
Who do you think's better, Brady Quinn or Matt Ryan?
I am going to go with Matt Ryan because I've never really been a big Brady Quinn fan.
Okay. And you are a big Matt Ryan fan?
No.
Oh.
I don't think either of them are, you know, when you start to talk about Peyton Manning as the prototypical come-in franchise quarterback. Yeah. Matt Ryan also bugging me by wearing number 2, but that's a side argument.
I just want to let our listeners know that since Paul and I argued, he hasn't even come up from air. He's been just stuffing wings in his since then.
They're very good.
They are good. They are good.
Fred claims they're not buffalo wings. Claims they're hot wings.
Those are buffalo wings.
I think they're buffalo.
Wings. Those are buffalo wings. And those are some kind of...
I don't think they've got the sauce on them. You know?
Well, they're not overly wet, but they might have been. Those are phenomenal, whatever those are.
I thought they were teriyaki.
Honey teriyaki, maybe?
Something like that, yeah.
Sushil. Is that how you say it? Yeah. Do you have a nickname?
Sushi.
It's easier.
Okay. Also,
should we just give him a mic?
I was going to say, it works better if you put the microphone in front of you and you put...
Yeah, you can talk.
Hit that little button and it'll go on. You can talk.
Rashard Mendenhall.
You can start talking senseless about Rashard Mendenhall like Andy.
That was cut up. That was clearly put together. It didn't sound that way.
As I said before, that's pretty much the way I remember it. Every single pick, you were like,
Rashard Mendenhall. And who's going to be right?
Best back of the draft. And I think you went like... this about 12
who's
times.
Who's going to be right in 2 years? Me.
You are in.
I want you,
you
to keep
are.
That, Gary, because in
Rashard
2 years,
Mendenhall.
When he's in the Pro Bowl, I want you to play that again.
Okay. The worst part about this is I like Mendenhall, so I can't even root against him. Of course, I don't want to date him like you do.
Mish in Montreal writes in, I'd like to revisit what you think the nickel package will look like this year.
Oh.
The actual Patriots nickel package, not you guys. The story seems to keep changing on where Merriweather will play. Tom, you said a couple weeks back that Merriweather will be playing safety. Is he going to take over from Sanders this year? Because if not, then he's playing corner. I think it's assumed Hobbs and Bryant will be on the outside, so that puts him inside. Is this right? And to go further, let's say by midseason Wheatley is caught on as well, well enough to hit the top three in the depth chart. Is it more likely he takes over from Bryant on the outside or from Merriweather at nickel?
Wheatley was doing a lot of things today, by the way, with regular players. I don't want to get into formations and stuff that's going to get us in trouble, but he was out there with some of the regular guys, which bodes well, I think, for a rookie.
Certainly.
Bryant was part of that as well.
My guess is Merriweather will play both.
Yeah, I mean,
You threw it at him as a rookie, so there's no reason to not throw it at him as a second.
If you're going to go strictly by starters being the two corners and two safeties, I'm not sure Merriweather's one of those four.
I don't think so.
He will be a starter in that he will be a regular in the rotation in the sub-packages.
I agree. 100%. He will be one of your top five DBs.
And he probably will spend some time in the slot as a corner, even though you might not necessarily call him a cornerback or a safety or whatever. Mm. I think he'll be out there. He just seemed to me to be a lot more comfortable in his surroundings, if that makes any sense. And he even said, you know, last year, you know, we asked him to if he could compare it at all to where he is right now to where he was at this time last year, and he said, no, it's not even worth talking about. It's that much night and day. Hmm. And he talked about still, even though he's that much more comfortable, he's still not a veteran. He's still, watching Rodney and watching these other guys go about their business, and he's just taking as much in as he can. I think he's got the right approach and the right attitude. I thought very similar to the way I talked about Chad Jackson. It looked like the way he was going about it was the right way. Now, whether or not he's actually doing it and putting that kind of work in and that stuff, who knows?
He's come a long way since Fred Smirlus was promoting the fact that he could have been cut?
Late in training camp last year, Fred Smirlus was saying out and out, he is going to get cut. First-round draft pick. I mean, almost unprecedented. I don't know of a first-round draft pick that got cut out of his first training camp.
Right.
Fred, I have an email to read.
Okay.
A little cross-promotion here. This one came into Ask PFW earlier this morning, and it's not really appropriate for what we write on the website and Ask PFW, but it is appropriate for this show, so I thought we'd read it on the air. It's from Arthur Lassard in USA. It says, being a Patriots fan now is like being a victim of male prison rape. It's not your fault. You can't do anything about it, yet you still feel guilty and that everyone is laughing at you. I think that's accurate. Right?
Well, we kind of feel helpless in
right.
this whole thing.
To be honest with you, I don't know what it's like to be a victim of prison rape.
So well, you can assume.
I can't relate.
You can assume when, you know, you can put yourself in Eric's position.
Dude.
Well, speaking of Eric, Kieran writes in. First, he wants to know if we've heard any more about Kevin Jones.
No, I've not heard anything.
Sammy Morris looked very good today, I thought, by the way. You know, in terms of his health, moving around. No pads, like Andy said. But
quick through the hole.
Yeah, and catching a lot of passes, stretching out. If it was at all an issue, I wouldn't have thought he'd been out there. Now, you guys talked about the six or seven players that weren't out there. Most of those guys have injuries that they were coming off of last year.
And some of them predated Sammy Morris, like
right.
Dave Thomas, right?
He was out there. You know? Yeah, Dave Thomas was pretty early.
Kieran, you should keep a lookout, by the way, for Matt Light, Larry Izzo, and a whole other group of Patriots coming to Ireland for the Matt Light Foundation, doing a golf tour of Ballybunion and a few other golf clubs over there.
Right.
And anybody who wants to sign up can go to mattlightfoundation.org.
I think it's the lightfoundation.org or lightfoundation.org.
Oh, I thought it was mattlightfoundation.org. But Google it and you'll get to it.
You should be able to find it.
It's a tour. I think it's like $4,500, so you need to have a little bit of money. But if you're in Ireland, like
tons
many
of
our emailers,
of golf, though, too.
You can just, you know, drop in, crash the party.
You guys are already there.
Ballybunion.
Kieran also says, P.S. If Eric is back, please don't let him talk. I can hardly listen to the man talking about football, let alone pyramids and sand.
Should we let Soosh talk? Is it Soosh?
If he has something to say, he can say it.
I don't think he does. He seems to be overwhelmed a bit by the microphone, and he's enjoying his wings. He's like Paul.
Say, he's got a pretty good pile of wings going there, too. He learned from
Freddie.
Speaking of which, I just saw Andy's plate. Don't even tell me you're making fun of me.
Well, I had like an hour head start. I got in here earlier.
Wow.
And Fred was babbling about Spygate, so I had plenty of time to eat.
Well, Fred called me and threatened to eat everything before we even got in here.
It's good stuff. Conley's. Paul, you'll like, as I said, Conley's, much like the Patriots, was established in 2001.
Week 3?
Yeah, well, Conley's, I don't know exactly when they...
You tell me that was like September 21st, 2001.
Webradio@patriots.com is
got some
email
T-shirts,
address.
Too.
Okay.
Conley's T-shirts.
Also, I want to remind people, I mentioned it before, the lacrosse Final Four is coming this weekend. There's tickets still available.
Okay, I need to purchase some of those.
Oh,
huh?
I do.
For who?
A friend of mine.
Fred's going. Fred bought tickets all 3 days.
Fred would go.
I'm going.
Club seats. He doesn't, you know, mix in with the crowd.
I'm going.
So you have to, how does that work? You have to buy them for all 3 days? Wait, there's 3 days? There's 2 days, right? There's three games.
No, this Saturday is the semifinals, Division One. Sunday is the Division Two and Division Three championships.
Do they make you buy those?
You can buy the whole weekend package, but I think you can buy single days.
Okay.
Not yet, you can't.
Oh, not
boy.
Yet.
I eavesdrop on my guy, Buttafuoco, who's running it for somebody out of an office near mine, and he's on speakerphone, and you cannot yet buy single day. At some point, you'll be able to.
Well, just buy the whole weekend. It's very reasonable.
It's a great take, Paul.
I'm not going anyway, but I have to check with someone.
You wouldn't go?
No, that's not true. If it was a little bit more convenient for me, then I probably would.
It wasn't on the weekend.
No, I'm
if it was during a work day, I'm there.
No, I mean, what I'm saying is I could take Will. If it was somewhere close, I'm not going to drive Will an hour with the threat of 15 minutes into the game, he wants to leave.
Because you should know that Paul loves this job except working on the weekends.
Yeah.
He doesn't like the games.
I love the games. I just wish they were in my time.
But then he complains if we have like a Thursday night
game. No, you have not heard me complain about that Thursday night game once.
I don't know. I don't
that is a great week.
You the weekend, redder by the minute, by the
way. The weekend is mine.
That pink is settling in.
Why does it bother you? You're a little pink over there, too.
I can feel it. I look down at my forearms.
Your forehead's all pink. Just because my head's red and your forehead, I don't know what's the difference.
That's true. If we could see the top of my head like yours, pricey.
Andy, I mean, you could rent out your forehead for advertising.
Yeah, I mean,
let's face it.
The sheer surface area alone. I mean, what are you going to do?
Soosh liked that one.
He did. You found that you might be hired. Fred's been looking for somebody to laugh at his jokes for years.
That's okay. Andy still hasn't found that guy.
Do you know anything about websites and running websites? You good with computers?
No.
We're looking for a webmaster.
No, we're not, Chris. Don't worry about it.
Explain to me
Chris just had a heart attack upstairs.
I know.
Explain to me how a smart kid can come out of high school nowadays, getting ready to go to college, and a good college at that, not Liberty like Fred says, but Trinity, and not have a lot of computer knowledge, not have a lot of knowledge of the web. He asked me what a blog was earlier.
He's focused.
No one knows less about computers than I do, by the way. So this is
Wow.
All right.
He's focused on math and football. I like it.
Still refuses to put that microphone
have fun,
on, though.
Become a math teacher.
Steven Westford says, just knowing Eric won't be there makes me excited for today's show. Not in a gay way, of course. Surf over to the Herald story about passing camp to see our own Paul Perillo staring daggers at Terrence Wheatley as if he were that lady from Babies R Us.
That's not true.
I guess you got a picture already up on the web?
They must. But I didn't talk to Terrence Wheatley.
You must have been staring at him.
Maybe you're just behind him or something in the background.
Did you see Terrence Wheatley even talking today?
22.
So we've had Gary without a mic, and now we've got Such without a mic.
And the
it's
idiot.
One-sided conversation.
And the idiot keeps asking him questions. That would be me.
Is the Super Bowl really going to be in Indy in 2012? Who the hell wants to spend a week in Indianapolis in February? It's like death.
Hello, Combine.
I guess I was
wrong. Oh, wait. If the Patriots made it, I could just stay for the whole
plus. That's what you're looking for.
Isn't the whole point that the Super Bowl is more like just one Sunday, that there should be lots to do and see in comfortable weather for the entire week? Pelion strikes again.
Wow. It's
actually,
just
this
like
is
Detroit.
This is Ursay.
Right. But it's the same thing.
This is a thank you. It's not just to the Colts for building a stadium, but it's a thank you for Indianapolis for chipping in.
And have you seen Ursay is basically on the record saying, if you give me one Super Bowl, I'll never ask again.
Right.
Just give me my one.
Right. I would tend to
agree.
And
by the way, Indy's not a bad little city.
See, I really like Indy.
See, that one word is the problem. Little.
Yeah. I like Indy, and I like that road trip. It's a very underrated road trip. There's a lot to do, but I kind of agree with the weather thing. I do think that the Super Bowl should always be in as warm a weather place as it can be, whether it be L.A. or Miami or
And for small
know, New
events,
Orleans.
Indy is fine because they have all those sky bridges, but there's not enough connected to those sky bridges to have a
See,
Super Bowl.
See, the problem is, I don't think what a lot of people take into consideration with the Super Bowl, they just think of, you know, 60,000, 70,000, or 80,000, whatever amount of, but it's so many more than that that come to the city.
Right.
You know, what would you, I mean, what would you estimate
I think
times like, how many that go trying to get tickets and don't end up getting one of the game?
I think it's
times it's, five, times
yeah,
ten?
I was going to say, I think it's close to 1 million people that they expect.
You know?
Yeah.
So that would be tough for Indy. Because I originally actually, Indy and I talked about it at practice. And I was thinking like you, Fred. I kind of like Indy. I think that would be a decent place to have it, but it may the sheer size of it may overwhelm Indy.
Also,
let's be honest; it was freaking freezing at times in Phoenix at night.
Well, and I
we
do
that
agree
party.
That was weird.
Yeah,
that was weird.
It was
that
atypical.
Yeah, but at least if you go to Indy, you're expecting it to be cold. You got your cold clothes.
Right.
But I do say that Indy's going to be cold. That's the winter. You know, they had it in Minnesota a couple years ago. They had it in Detroit twice. I don't think those cities should have
Super Bowls. We've solved it. It's New Orleans, it's Phoenix, it's Miami, it's the regular rotation. Just stay down there.
They haven't had one in L.A., in like the Rose Bowl or anything like that in a long time, have they?
Nope.
What about Texas?
He chimes in. What about Texas?
They had one in Houston that we were at.
Yep. Sucked. No Houston.
Yeah, Houston.
Houston is
Dallas
terrible.
Is getting one.
We had problems. We had problems in Houston.
Everything is an hour and a half.
Dallas has got 2011.
Yeah. I want to
hey,
go.
Is that a new kid or something?
Do you have your headphones on? I don't think you
did.
Did
you click it on? Let me see this.
It's a little red light on.
He doesn't know about headphones either.
Because Gary made fun of you and you didn't laugh.
There you go.
let's see.
He probably doesn't know that movie either. He's going to be the only high school kid.
Is that a new kid or something?
Oh, he laughs now. Yes. It was the first time for him.
Steve in Westford also, do you guys believe that Sammy Morris will be 100% soon? Or more importantly, do you think Bill and the coaching staff believe that? Or are the guys brought in recently some proof that they're worried about Morris? I'm not sure Maroney is ready to be the guy without Morris this year.
I think Sammy Morris is going to be fine based on the fact that he was out there and he looked okay.
Yeah, I think that as well. But I don't know about Maroney because you could make an argument that the best play that he's had in the last 2 years was down the stretch when he was the guy.
Right.
He was the only guy. You know, he didn't have Dylan and he didn't have Morris.
I feel more confident about him now than I did last year.
I like the way he closed the season, that's for sure. I like the way he ran in December. And
now that said,
the
I
first
still
two playoff games
like
too.
Having a backup, whether
oh,
it's
Oh, no,
Sammy
I want
Morris
Sammy
or
Morris, too, I think. But I think this is one of those things, Fred, that the longer the guy was away, the better he became when he played. Now, he played very well as
did,
a backup.
Yeah. But he did. He had two 100-yard games.
Right.
Yeah.
But how much do you think his absence hurt the team
From week five. Well,
it might have hurt him down the stretch.
Winning and losing isn't – we obviously know this team has proven it can win without guys. Right. I mean, this team won the Super Bowl, for example, in 2004, despite the fact that Ty Law got hurt after week six. Now, do you think they would have been better from week seven to the Super Bowl with them or without them?
With them.
Of course.
Yes.
So it's not about –
Fred nailed that one.
I mean, they won all the games, but it's not just about winning all the games.
Absolutely. I think they –
how much do you think they really missed Sammy Morris? This is not an indictment of Sammy Morris, by the way, but I don't really think they missed him very much. But you hear a lot of people say, that was a key loss down the stretch. You know, I'm like, Maroney ran the best that he ran in 2 years.
Wade Phillips went into that game targeting the running game, and maybe nobody else targeted after that game.
Well, that could be true. Because
I don't really believe my own crap.
No, but we know that they didn't target the – we know that no one targeted the running game because you were crazy. You were Wade Phillips. You know, he's one stupid enough to do that last year.
James in England says the picture of Paul is on the Herald's website.
Is it funny?
And he wants to know who's the chick behind Paul. She looks kind of hot.
Let me see.
That's not the picture.
You're not talking into the mic.
he hands me the words.
I don't know who that is behind.
Well, if you let me see, I
probably
can
an intern. Local TV stations have been known to hire hot interns to come and hold their mics and interview players
hold
too.
What? Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. Oh, wait a minute. No, I don't know who that is.
Okay.
Well, there's only like three regular women that would qualify that were out there. It's not Christina Acra. It's
well, I thought for a second.
I'm
sure
going to eat your salad.
Mexico.
Chris from the Bronx, one of our regular emailers and food suppliers, says, sorry to hear about Tom's operation, but having had the same procedure in college, I can say that after about a month of feeling like someone punched me in the nose, he will soon be breathing and even speaking better. So good luck, Tom.
Does this mean he'll be able to pronounce words properly?
You know why?
You know why?
Like anyways?
But you know why?
Anyways?
Glad Passing Camp is here so we can talk about football actually happening on the field. Please partake of some true-false preseason points I'd love to hear your opinions on. One, Gerard Mayo will have more preseason tackles than Teddy Bruschi.
True.
Oh, that's true.
True.
Soosh voting.
Vince Red makes the roster over Bo Rude.
That's false.
False.
Really?
Neither guy makes the roster.
Right.
Oh.
That's the correct answer.
Well, you think he's going to be on...
on the paper that is the roster, on some listing.
Okay. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis will be on an NFL roster in September.
False.
I need more information. I'm going with false, but I don't know anything about the guy.
Soosh not weighing in on some of these.
You can abstain. You can abstain.
Don't know.
Four, there will be a surprise cut on the O-line.
Hi there.
Oh, Gary.
That was well-timed, though.
Surprise cut? No.
It all depends on would you consider that a surprise?
Yeah.
Oh, like O'Callaghan?
I don't think any
Hochstein,
of them get cut.
Yates? Would any of those be considered surprise cuts? Britt?
Kazier? Would that be a surprise?
Yes.
Yeah,
that to me is a surprise cut.
Okay. All right.
There was others. I wouldn't be all that surprised, but I also don't really think any of them are going to get cut.
But I think the chances are those nine all come back. The five starters and the four other guys who have started at least once in their careers. I just think it makes too much sense to bring them all back, but I'm not going to be stunned if one – at some point, those backups are making – you know, a Russ Hochstein is probably making more money than most backup offensive linemen in the NFL. At some point
– and if they drafted like a third-round guard, I'd say –
yeah.
There's just nobody in line right now.
Well, unless one of those practice squad guys – isn't there a Conley on the team?
Jimmy Martin, Dan Conley.
Yeah.
Conley.
Why can't I be the director?
Chad Jackson will score at least two preseason TDs.
True.
I don't know.
Preseason?
True.
Hell no.
He said they were preseason. True or false?
False. At first I thought it meant preseason. Now we're talking specifically what's going to happen in the preseason.
Which is a big topic at the owners' meetings, right?
So you misinterpreted the email.
No, just that question. What's the big thing at the owners' meetings with the preseason?
Well, the big thing
to get rid of it.
The big thing is they opted out of the CBA.
No,
32-0.
I'm talking about the preseason.
They're discussing ways to change the preseason to make it more valuable, more entertaining, more interesting, more intriguing.
That's wasted
time. One thing I hope they don't do is make anything you do in the preseason relevant to the season. You know how in the All-Star game, for example, in baseball, the winner, American League or National League, is the home team in the World Series?
Yeah.
If they do anything like that,
they won't.
Because
it's still the preseason.
They really can't.
They can't. No.
The only big change they could make that would affect a season would be cut one game and make the season longer.
Anything that's not involving eliminating games,
to me, is a waste of time. It's a waste of manpower, a waste of thought. If you're sitting there trying to legitimately think of ways to make it more competitive and more compelling to the fans, I think that's a complete and total waste of time. And here's where I would really agree with Bill. If they try to legislate something into you have to play certain amount of time.
Terrible.
Or I think that would be a gross disservice to any football coach.
I think it's very simple. You take the two home games you have to pay for as a season ticket holder, drop the prices in half, take that $80 and divide it out over the other regular season games, and tell people you're still paying the same, but the ones in the preseason are cheaper. Because that's what people seem to want to hear, that the preseason game is less expensive. I don't understand why people fixate on it. When you're buying season tickets, you're paying your $4,000 or whatever. I don't understand why you fixate that. Oh, God, that game in August where Brady doesn't play, I'm still paying $80.
Because I'll tell you why, that people, and as a season ticket holder, I'll tell you what bothered me. You're not allowed to not get those games.
Right.
It's not about how much you have to pay for them. I don't want to go to them if I have to pay a dollar.
But that's
you're
my
not
point.
Allowed to get season tickets if you don't pay for those games.
And that's how it should be.
Well, that's what people don't like.
See, I think if you want to be a season ticket holder, be a season ticket holder.
Well, that's what people choose to do, obviously. Season ticket holders.
But it seems like people worry that they cost the same amount. So change the price on the ticket. The bottom line is I'm charging you $3,200 or $4,000. You can divide it any way you want over those 10 games. I didn't really care. As long as the check you send me is for the full total package of season tickets.
Well, if you do that and you take away some of the money off the preseason games, then people I don't think would complain about it. Whatever you charge for the preseason games, if you didn't make them buy them.
No, my point is
the bottom line is the consumer is going to pay the exact
same amount. I'm charging you, say, $3,200 for season tickets. It's going
to
be the same.
So what I'm saying is if it's costing me $2 to get those two preseason games, I'd rather pay the $31.98 and not have those two preseason. Whatever you're going to charge me for the preseason games, I don't want
to
go.
$3,200 to be the right to be a season ticket holder. However, your little head wants to fixate on the money.
I don't think that's right.
Oh, I do.
I don't think that's
it's
right.
Just like
it's the only sport that it's like that.
Patriots were vindicated by the lawsuit.
So in basketball,
you do not have to buy preseason games in basketball. Matter of fact, most of them aren't even played in the
right.
Home
they play
arena.
In like Mohegan Sun Arena and all those places. But like the lawsuit the Patriots just won against that guy with the club seats who tried to opt out of the agreement and stopped paying.
Right.
You can't do that.
Right.
You can't commit to a 10-year contract and then say, well, I'm not going to pay.
Right.
I mean, because then everybody could do that if they went 4-12 one year.
What's the sense of having a contract?
Right. So you want to be a club seat owner, you agree to this contract, and it's 10 years. If you don't, don't.
But I agree with Paul in the sense that these preseason games are dreadful.
Well, yeah.
That's fine.
And I think that people don't want to go to them.
So don't
go. But they have to pay for them.
Right. Yeah.
So they wanted the option to not have to pay for them, but obviously no one's going to do that. But I think that's
the issue.
I give
them the option to not pay for them. Don't. And I'm going to sell your tickets to the next guy.
Hockey?
I don't know anything about it.
Don't have to buy. First of all, in hockey, let's face it, you call up and you say, what time's the game? And they say, what time can you get here?
That's true.
you know, they're not turning any season ticket any potential season ticket holders away, and football doesn't have that problem. They hold the hammer, but it's the only sport where they force upon you games that don't count.
But it's also, like you said, the only one that really hockey will set aside because it's hockey. It's like setting aside MLS. Baseball, they train somewhere else, so you couldn't force season ticket holders to buy tickets that are 3,000 miles away or whatever. And then basketball, they do. They travel around. They have training camps that visit different places in New Hampshire. And so it's the only one where it's done this way.
And it's, you know.
But it's also the only one that charges the same amount for a preseason game as a regular season.
No, I know, but it's also the only one that's holding those games in
the
regular season.
Right,
no matter where it's held.
I know,
no matter where it's held, they don't charge the same thing.
No, I understand.
There are some preseason games in hockey and basketball that are held in the Garden. They don't charge
the same. Well, first of all, the Red Sox charge like $35 for
right, but not what they charge for a regular season game. It's half. I mean, it's ridiculously high for spring. You don't know. You
don't
think it costs $70?
Tickets are pretty high down there.
You just said it cost $35.
Well, I'm just throwing a number out there.
They have
those tickets that are $35 at Fenway too. You just can't get them.
The Red Sox have the highest spring training tickets, but they also have the highest regular season. I mean, it's not the same.
No, but it's closer than it should be. Certainly for a ticket that's played.
Well, in the NFL, it's not closer than it should be. It's exactly the same.
And you're also playing in the same stadium where the games actually occur. You're playing in a major league.
But I don't understand what's the difference.
It does make a difference.
That's the venue.
The expenses of putting on the game is
But you make an argument that baseball spring training, while I would find it boring and mundane, is by far and away more compelling than any of the preseason. You're down in Florida in the winter, and you're actually watching the sport being played at a level that it's going to be played.
Well, it's
you
just not don't at get a level it's going to be played.
You just
you're
don't get to watch them for
97, who I've never heard of. I mean,
but they're playing, but they're playing the game hard. They're not.
Well,
I would argue
C.J. Jones plays the game hard, and Ray Ventrone plays the game
hard. No, I'm talking about when the starters are playing for the Red Sox in spring training, which they play every game. They play every day.
Right.
They don't do that in the preseason. You're lucky if you get Brady for a series.
That's
correct. But he plays.
The level of effort is the same.
But I'm talking about the caliber.
I know.
I misspoke.
The caliber of the game.
Kill me. I misspoke.
Okay.
But preseason baseball is far more of a sell. I personally have no interest in either one. But it's far more of a sell than preseason.
Spring training is more of a vacation.
But that has to do with Florida, not the game on the field.
Well, that's why they put it in places like Arizona and Florida, because it's nice out.
Well, also because it's an outdoor sport.
No, if they were in New England, they'd be screwed.
But they've created this whole spring
training
thing.
Tough's cage.
People take full vacations to go see this.
Right.
You know?
That Tufts cage, by the way, it's a miracle no one's ever gotten killed in there.
I don't know if they use it anymore. They built that new building.
It doesn't surprise me if they don't.
I used to hate running there when you're in like the open,
falses.
Closed, open, closed.
Terrence Wheatley will be the number one Nickelback in game one.
False.
False.
I'd say false, too.
I love when he chimes. False.
Yeah, I'll say false, too.
Pollard will be the most productive preseason tight end.
False.
False, man. False. Not.
Who else is going to be there?
Not real.
Well, one of these other guys, Stuper and DeVree and
Spock.
Spock.
Okay. Not a real positive first impression on Marcus. Did you guys talk about that?
Easy. Yeah, I said he's a, you know, stiff, in that he's really stiff.
He just needs to limber up. It's early.
No, he's not going to limber up. He's 75. He's done.
Will Hite has one awesome return in the preseason for
Get
a
off
TV
Will Hite.
That's on every highlight reel, making everyone think he's a lock, then
False.
Gets cut.
False.
What do you mean, get off Will Hite? What happened?
Every question is about Will Hite being a starter, Will Hite making great plays.
That last one was Will Hite, not Wheatley?
No, the first one was before
I'm not
you
even
got
paying
here.
Attention.
Oh,
to
okay.
Question.
No. What was the question you just asked?
Will Hite has an awesome return.
No, the one before that.
Was Will Hite.
Wheatley. Will
Wheatley,
be,
he said.
I think you said Will Hite.
I did
the
not
first
say
time.
Will Hite.
Gary, check the tape. Check it.
I'm almost certain he said Wheatley the first time.
Oh, wait.
Time.
Then I want to change my answer to true.
Okay.
That's why I gave it so much thought, and you guys just went false.
Because I think he said Will Hite. I'm not
he
buying
said
Gary.
Wheatley.
I don't trust you.
Richard Seymour will go back to 05 form.
True.
So? I didn't know the question.
Well, Seymour back to 05 form.
Soosh opted out on that one.
I'm a
he's healthy.
I'm an official Seymour suck up, so I say true.
Apparently, so is Soosh.
This will,
if he's healthy, he's right.
This year we'll have the biggest Patriots roster turnover since 02. I say false.
I have no idea.
I don't know what the numbers are.
Is it? What's the biggest turnover? 6, 5, 4, 7.
I don't know.
I don't know the
false.
Eight.
Forgetting
false.
This is the last one. Forgetting his condition, Andy has an extra large coffee and a bran muffin before driving to work, then has to clean his car.
That's
shorts,
true. Yes, car false.
All right. On the phone right now
Lucky.
Is Lucky. How you doing, Lucky?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you doing today?
Hey, Lucky. Doing great.
Say hi to Soosh.
Say hi to who?
Soosh.
Who the hell is
Soosh? He's from Moses Brown High School. He's doing a little tag-along with Fred.
He's job shadowing Fred, which means he'll be a moron by the end of the week.
Oh, what's going on?
See the respect Soosh? I get?
How come we didn't get no response? He's not talking?
He's here.
He's a bit quiet.
He's like Eric a little bit. He doesn't really talk much.
Except much taller and bigger.
Yeah, except for he's
there,
athletic.
Not there.
Yeah, he's just kind of... He's still a little bit overwhelmed by the setting, the microphone, everything.
Now, is that his first name or his last name?
Well, his first name is
Sushil Trivedi. Trivedi.
Oh.
See, his last name ends in a vowel. He's one of mine.
I'm pretty sure he's been called Douche a lot, man.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you say Soosh or Douche?
Douche.
Oh.
They're going to say Douche.
Jeez, Lucky. He's our guest. It's not like you're talking to me.
Hey, Soosh, I'm just messing with you, man. I'm just giving you a hard time like the rest of the guys. We cool.
He said, it's okay.
Everything going.
He said it was okay. I'm translating. What's up?
I got a question for you. The minicamp is in June, right?
Yeah.
That's correct. June 6th and 7th, I believe.
All right. The rookies don't have to be under contract for that, right?
They do not have to be under contract.
No, they don't have to be.
Just for training camp?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, even training camp, you don't have to be.
You can't, but you're not going to practice.
Oh, you can't?
No, don't you remember Ben Watson holding out?
Yeah, you have to be under contract for training camp. Yeah, the whole Ben Watson thing.
But I thought he held out, but he could have been there if he wanted to be.
I'm not wondering if you can. Well, I'm guessing it's training camp, but I don't think you can be in training camp and practicing if you're not under contract.
Lucky is correct.
Yeah, I think you're right, Lucky. Lucky.
Okay.
I wouldn't. Are you concerned about potential holdouts with the rookies?
No. I was just wondering when that whole negotiating process started. And plus, I was wondering when the veteran minicamp was, when everybody gets together. Because I know the Patriots are one of the teams that have the rookie minicamp first and then bring everybody together later. I just wasn't sure. I thought it was last weekend, actually, but.
Well, they had a rookie minicamp right
after. I know they had the rookie one. I thought the veteran one was like 2 weeks after or something, but I guess not.
First weekend in June.
I suppose you could count this as a veteran minicamp. This is a voluntary one.
Quote, unquote.
Oh, the OTAs, practicing camp?
But this is just like what you're going to see at minicamp. Only minicamp is going to be mandatory and everybody will be here.
Right.
Didn't we get any information on that? Don't they have, wasn't the press allowed to see it today?
Yes.
Have you not been listening?
Yeah, if you're not going to listen to
our
show.
I'm at work. I can't listen live.
Oh.
You know that. What do you mean? Been
well, yes, we were out there. Lots of stuff going on. Chad Jackson lining up with the ones opposite Randy Moss. Very exciting.
Thought we weren't talking formations and stuff.
We can't write it.
Oh.
not really a formation.
Ray Ventrone is now a wide receiver. Has a white number 41 playing offense.
Really?
Sammy Morris out there, fully healthy, looking good.
Wes Welker not in attendance.
Randy Moss looking like Randy Moss.
Smooth as silk, as always.
Oh. This just in.
Randy Moss is pretty good.
Marcus Pollard, done.
D-U-N, done.
Stiff as a board. Can't run routes, can't do anything. You know, he is like 85. But
hey, these are the kind of snap judgments that you can only get from two idiots like Andy and Paul.
What else you want to know? Any other player you stick out? Dragosevich.
Yeah, what was Slater doing?
Wide receiver.
Dropping balls.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, he...
He was wide receiver the whole practice.
He will need to stand out once they actually, you know, preseason, special teams, pads are on, run down, and be a wacko, and be willing to give up his body for the team.
How about your sleeper? What is it? Is it Red?
Yeah, Vince Red. He looked good out there. He was on the far field, so I didn't see much, but he looked good. And Sean Crable's legs still skinny as ever.
I'm still going with Jonathan.
Oh, I'm not worried about his legs. He'll have time to develop those.
I think he's stuck with them. You're born. Some things are genetics. I'll never have a six pack. He'll never have big legs.
Yeah, I'll probably never have a six pack either.
No.
You can have a six pack if you worked on it. But
no, I can't. I work. I run. I was in the best shape of my life, I never had a six pack.
It doesn't matter. You don't need a six pack anyway. You're married with the mistress.
That's true. Well said.
That's right.
If Tom was here, he just would have went off. He's admitting it. He finally admitted it.
My mistress is in Mexico this week.
I could always eat your salad.
Tom, where is Tom?
He had some nose surgery.
Oh.
No truth to the rumor. They needed three doctors to perform it, though.
In two different states.
So when is he coming back, or when is he due back?
He'll be out this week. He'll be back next week.
They wheeled in his nose on its own gurney.
But you know what?
Have to send him a
it's like that odd couple line.
Yeah, send him a card.
Oscar Madison's mad at Howard Cosell, and he says, I break his nose, but I only have two hands.
And Eric is still in Egypt.
Well, I don't really care about Eric. It's not like he's contributing anyway.
All right.
Wow.
Lucky taking...
A little harsh.
Taking shots.
Kicking ass and taking
names. So anything else you need to know out of today's camp before we let you go?
Nope. I think that's all.
All right.
I'll listen to the podcast when I get home.
All right. Go fix a plane.
All right. Yeah, I go... I'm protesting.
Protesting what?
I'm fixing planes.
Isn't that your job?
Oh, you want strikes?
That's my job, but you know what? My boss has been acting like a real asshole the last...
Oh, you can't say that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, Lucky.
He's now banned for a week, right? Sorry, Lucky. You are one of the best callers ever, but you're banned for a week.
Lucky got blown up.
Although, to be fair, Tom Brady said that word and a couple others on EEI.
Everybody's talking about Paul Perillo's... picture, but once
yeah,
again,
in which you really weren't in on this interview.
No,
because you really look like you are.
No, but you know what?
I didn't even know he talked.
You should have been looking the other way.
I'm calling out the Herald for being frauds again.
Wow,
Matt in Springfield. Yes, Paul, you are ice grilling the heck out of Wheatley. That pick was from the rookie mini camp a few weeks back.
Oh, okay.
I can understand why you can't remember. Eric obviously possessed your body for that moment. Reminds me of how I look at every time I see naked breasts.
Oh, that's Catherine Tappan in the background.
So now that the Herald's using two-week-old photos to show what's going on today.
But sure, it says file photo.
I will say it makes me feel a lot better that I had absolutely no recollection of Wheatley talking today.
You'd be like me, just flat out losing it.
So
you sure that's Catherine Tappan?
No, I'm not sure.
I don't think it is.
But I think it is.
And it certainly does appear that I'm in on this interview here.
Oh, yeah. Gary agrees that it is Catherine Tappan. And I don't know if you know, but he knows a little something about young blondes.
And being a little bit creepy.
Yes, he's marrying one.
What? Does it hurt more coming from me? That's what Eric always says.
Taz writes
that. That's not fair.
What's that?
I don't get to take shots at people because they get really offended when I do it.
Oh, no.
Andy does it all the time, so I guess people just...
Paul, don't worry. Nobody listens to you.
That's a good point.
Taz writes in, sorry about not being able to write in on Thursday. I was at a concert. So I assume everyone's happy.
Terry O'Reilly.
Brady is here. No more complaining. I just wanted to know what your opinion is on Taquio Spikes. I thought he played all right last year before his injury. Do you think the Patriots would pick him up, or why do you think no one has yet? Is he just too old? With a huge neck like that, I think he could contribute unless he wants too much money.
The opposite of the Andy Hart. The huge neck. He can play here.
And do you think Sammy Morris is going to get more carries than Maroney as he did last year, or is the backfield finally Maroney's to lose?
Yes.
I don't think he would have gotten more carries than Maroney last year if Maroney didn't get hurt.
Right.
They had kid gloves with Maroney early.
Yeah, and Maroney got hurt early.
Oh, I know.
So, no, I don't think Morris would get more. Spikes, I don't know why he hasn't gotten picked up by anybody, but I don't really think that he makes a lot of sense for the Patriots.
There's usually a reason when these guys don't get picked up.
I think it's injury related.
You know, Al Wilson, he goes somewhere and all of a sudden they find out he's got no neck.
He's probably done.
And I also don't know if he'd be a great fit here. I think he's a good football player, but I don't know if he'd be a great fit.
You know, speaking of the Al Wilson thing, did you happen to see that Dan Morgan retired today? Or yesterday?
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, that was another one that everybody was all, why are they not picking up Dan Morgan?
Doesn't it seem like he played in the league more than 7 years?
Yeah.
Well, he just was always concussed.
Yeah. Dumb question, but punter-wise, I know we have a couple in the mix. Please don't tell me we're going to end up starting player.
I just love his look. He looks like Jimmy D, kicking punts out there.
Why?
But Dragosevich really struggled today. I said that earlier.
It was almost like they were looking to work on his mechanics somehow. Like they were... Changing his release point, maybe, or something, because he was really, really struggling.
He's got a long leg, though.
But why? I mean, what's the difference? How do we know who's – what's the matter with player?
I mean,
why
can't,
he's been an NFL punter for a long
– you know.
Is Chris Hansen out there?
Yeah. What's the difference between having him or Hansen?
You have to ask Taz.
Why are you getting so defensive?
No, I just thought it was strange.
You're going to stick up for the old guy? Use old guys stick together?
What's the difference in their ages?
He gets so
and the starting lineup for...
Yeah, you're right. One's been around for 11 years. The other's been around for 10. Yeah, there's a big difference there.
Starting lineup for this year...
This is, by the way, when they say I'm mad. Can you see the rage?
I think it's just the sunburn.
Yeah, there you go. Look at him. He's got the dark skin, so he's, you know... Wait, look at the sunburn over there.
You did get the most words out of him and the loudest words.
Well, that's because I'm a good interviewer, Andy. I can elicit the responses.
All
you're doing is just babbling and talking about Rashard Mendenhall.
Starting lineup for this year for wide receivers. 1, Moss. 2, Gaffney. In the slot, Welker. Then what?
I would say Gaffney is in the slot with Welker, and I would say Chad Jackson's on the outside with Randy Moss.
Right. It's his job to lose.
So you could, you know, one, whatever. I think the three starters are going to be Moss, Jackson on the outside with Welker inside, and I think when they go to 4 receiver sets, Gaffney is in the slot opposite Welker.
And while I'm totally poo-pooing him, Marcus Pollard doing a lot of stuff lined up in the slot, lined up wide as a wide receiver.
Yeah, and he's
Until
a guy...
Until they cut him, he'll do that.
He's a guy that obviously has been around for a while, so he's going to have knowledge of a lot
again.
Of this stuff.
He's an old guy. You should stick up for him. How long's he been in the league?
Hey, but I don't think
15,
he's that
16
good.
Years, something like that? 13, so you can talk into the mic. You're about 5 feet.
Yeah, this is his 14th year.
Wow.
Kamani says, I can't believe you pronounce clandestine, and you did it twice. So, whatever.
You pronounced it wrong. See, I don't know how to say it. So
I always thought it was clandestine.
Clandestine.
And you said clandestine about 4 times, and finally I just said, not only that, but clandestine.
You also said this morning... you were talking on your speakerphone very loud to Jana about an ad, and you said you're going to rotate it instead of rotate it.
You said, so you're just going to rotate.
Take
what
it.
Would you
do without having that kind of watchdog at your disposal?
I've got my accents mixed up. What can I tell you?
Armin Katayan.
Amy from London.
Amy. Gary, talk. Oh, Gary doesn't have a mic today.
Couple quick questions. Why can you use PayPal to subscribe to your paper? I think she means why not.
Yeah, why can't you?
I want to subscribe, but I don't have a credit card. How can you be missing out on all the people that use PayPal?
Fred?
Get a credit card. Two, I want to buy a jersey this year.
How do you use PayPal without a credit card? How does that work?
Bank account. You can attach it to a bank account.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why you'd ever want to do.
PayPal is for people who don't have credit cards, right?
Well, no. I use it because it's a buffer. You know what I mean? It gives
you don't trust yourself.
Yeah, I don't like it.
No, I mean, I don't trust the other person.
Oh, I see.
They have to have an account with PayPal. And if you just send somebody a credit card number that you buy. Like, I bought that shady Christmas CD on the internet. I certainly wasn't sending that guy my credit card number. You out of your freaking mind?
Okay.
But then he had to have that shady Christmas CD.
Well, it was... It was a record I had when I was a kid. It was a 70s record. I loved it. And the guy just copies the record and sells it to you. It's not illegal in any way. Not legal in any way, but I wanted the CD.
Also, Amy says, I want to buy a jersey this year for the first time. Why is one so much more expensive than the other?
I hope it's Flanders.
What are the differences between them? Well, one is a replica.
Right.
Which is, I don't know what they'd make it out of, but...
It's cheaper.
The numbers are silk screened on.
Yeah.
That's the big difference.
If right. you saw them in person... You would understand why, because the authentic, is heavy duty, sewn on, layered numbers. The letters are sewn on. It's thicker.
It's what the players want.
Right. It's
real.
Quality. It's right. It. You can feel the quality.
Thus, the term authentic.
Now, I don't know if it should be $250 or whatever it costs. That's a little ridiculous, but
easy.
You got to do business as business being done, as Bill would say.
We should get Flanders on the phone to talk about the new items this year.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
P.S. My prediction for this year is that Ben Watson and Jackson both have outstanding seasons.
No chance.
So that's Amy from London.
No chance that both happen.
Emailing her. All right, well, we didn't get to a lot of the emails. Tons of emails coming in today, but we will be back on Thursday, right?
We will be back on Thursday.
Where you can again hear Paul and Fred argue about Spygate.
I think that's it between us.
No, we put an end to that quick.
There's no more Spygate. Well, I'm done. I've said all I've had to say.
I just think that we had... other stuff to talk about today, and I couldn't
like
believe
all the
that we
emails
were
we left
about
in the email box.
Yeah, but they're all Spygate. No.
Oh, they are?
A lot of them are. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's
I
what that, that's how
I
actually...
misinterpreted the rules.
But that's actually how it started. I was really surprised that we still had all those emails about Spygate.
Careful, you might actually extend this show till 2:00. He likes to leave 5 minutes early.
That's true.
All right, well, that's it for today. We will see you on Thursday, and until then, you know, whatever. All right, welcome. We're here. It is Saturday, April 26th, and finally, draft day is here. And this, of course, is PFW in Progress's draft extravaganza. We're all here getting ready to do what we do on draft day.
Now, Andy Hart breaks down the NFL draft.
And the Patriots are sitting there with Ellis, either draft him or trade.
Or Mendenhall.
One.
Scouts Inc. agrees with me.
They have Mendenhall as
two.
The
third best player available.
The
there's no way he gets past the Jets at this point.
Oh, Mendenhall?
Three.
Ryan and
McFadden.
Yeah.
Maybe Mendenhall.
Four.
Everybody here thinks the Jets will take Golston.
Rashard Mendenhall available.
Five.
For the record, Scouts Inc. has Ellis, then Mendenhall, then
six.
Rivers.
I gotta think
available.
This is a guaranteed trade.
Rashard Mendenhall, best player available.
Seven.
But who do the Cowboys want?
Rashard Mendenhall.
Eight.
What does Cincinnati do here? Rashard Mendenhall?
Nine.
Chris Williams or that Brandon Elbert.
I'm going Rashard Mendenhall.
Ten.
Who's Dallas a target?
Rashard Mendenhall.
Yeah. 11.
So you think he's dumb, but he's smart, and he knows who the best back in this draft is. Rashard Mendenhall.
12.
I still think teams are going to kick themselves years down the road for passing on Rashard Mendenhall here.
13.
Oh, terrible pick.
Why?
You left the best running back on the board in Rashard Mendenhall.
14.
If they take Rashard Mendenhall, it's a steal at 14.
15.
Start writing the story now in 5 years about looking back how they could have had Rashard Mendenhall.
16.
The news is the Lions got Rashard Mendenhall. Hopefully.
17.
Arizona could get Mendenhall.
18.
I just can't believe Rashard Mendenhall is falling like a stone.
19.
Rashard Mendenhall dropping like a stone.
20.
If you're Tampa Bay, do you take Rashard Mendenhall?
Yeah, but if I was any team in the last 15, I would have taken Mendenhall.
21.
Who's on the clock? Tampa?
If they don't take
Rashard Mendenhall,
yeah,
I'd be disappointed in it.
22.
I mean,
Houston trading back up to get Mendenhall.
23.
Now, is this definitely for Mendenhall?
Yeah, why wouldn't it be?
Yeah, I gotta say it's for Mendenhall. It's gotta be.
24.
If you draft Mendenhall, he can be complimentary.
25.
Then you have Mendenhall, who I think can be a franchise bat.
26.
Pittsburgh, Mendenhall.
27.
Mendenhall, and I can root for the Steelers with Roethlisberger and Mendenhall.
29.
Lima Swede to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh Steelers select Rashard Mendenhall.
Sorry, but the Patriots became the second best team in the AFC right then. Mendenhall is ridiculous here.
30.
He's only said that's a terrible pick, the last six picks, until Mendenhall went. Then he clapped wildly.
Yeah, Eric, and you're supposed to be the gay one.
Who's on the clock?
By the way, I lost interest once Mendenhall got drafted.
Filled with love.